Show.
Here's the thing, David, is that
why are you calling him David now all the time?
Is that we're friends and we see the future, we see the writing on the wall, we see the crash that's ahead, and I don't want to be responsible for not stepping up and saying, dude, you're going to lose a good thing. I mean, Yasmin, Miss Double December 2006, who willingly gives you sex, and no, that's not a lead up to an April Fool's joke. It's true. It's been going on since the holidays. That is the best thing that has ever happened to you and the best thing that will ever happen to you.
Oh, cool. Remember the surprise 3 months ago? Remember the surprise 3 months ago when we came back from the holidays? It was January, I don't know, 2nd, 3rd, 4th. And we had heard that that had happened, and we were beside ourselves. We could not imagine that was true.
It was the new 9/11 for us at that time, remember?
It was.
It was something so shocking that we knew we'd never get over it. We'd always remember when it happened. But now I feel that Dave is a little bit taking it for granted and that he's going to screw up and somehow she's not going to be giving you the nappy dugout anymore and then you're going to be a mess.
Yeah, this is a mess. Let's call Yasmin if you don't mind. This
I want to hear what exactly.
Former Miss Double December apparently was spilling her guts at Santa Anita after a little
alcohol.
Or
are we wrong, Dave? Is everything fine?
I think everything's fine.
Okay.
The guy always thinks everything is fine. That means nothing. Watch out,
boy. Yes.
What?
See, you guys should be worrying about me.
No
Come
kidding.
On.
What the hell is this? Is this,
Hello?
Is that Hall & Oates?
Yeah, it is.
That's a horrible choice.
No, it's awesome. Hall & Oates.
Why are you a man-eater, Yaz? You don't have those teeth in your vagina, do you?
What?
You heard him. Yasmin, Santa Anita the other day, you were apparently, alcohol had loosened your lips just a bit.
Just a little bit. It happened.
And you started talking to people, and you were complaining that perhaps Dave, the King of Mexico, has turned into a big a-hole.
He's not an a-hole. He's not horrible to me. He's new cool Dave. You know, it's hard to explain. He's just different, you know? He's just cool now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, everything's all right,
guys. Well,
you're
going to have to give us more than he's just different.
Yeah, what
cool
does that
now.
Mean? He's just different. He's cool now. What does that mean?
What's he doing?
Yeah. I know it's been a while since you were Miss Double D, but the rules haven't changed that much about what you can't say on the air.
Yeah, we can't say the S word, Yasmin. That just came down. Okay, so Dave, at the beginning, he was bragging about the no game and how he doesn't pay attention to you, and that really gets your attention.
Well, I mean, it's not that. It's just he, like, on the Valentine's Day singles party, he's never seen it apparently either, but we were walking and talking together, and this girl comes up to him, and she's like, "You're so hot. If you weren't here with Yasmin right now, I'd so go home and sleep with you." And we were both like, okay.
You know how that happens in Hollywood. I mean, anytime, you know, a douchebag like Ryan Reynolds lands, you know, one actress, all of a sudden every other actress and singer wants to be with him too because now all of a sudden he's got credibility. I mean, you've basically co-signed Dave's coolness by going out with him, so now other girls think he's the deal.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I'm his new reference. I don't know. I mean, it's just, I don't know what I'm hearing. He's mean to people at work, and he's like saying no to people and being rude. And
yeah,
what?
He's an a-hole. Yesterday we were talking about talking to you today, and he's like, not going to happen. That's not going to happen. We said, what are you going to do? You got to clamp down on your woman, Dave? Now, Yasmin, it's come up.
He's going to backhand me later.
It's come up several times that you think perhaps you've been the worst thing for Dave.
I know. I think I am. I just feel really bad. And I'm
wrong.
Sorry.
She's been the best thing because now she reaffirms how rad I am.
thing because you're having a wonderful time
so now
and she's a great woman.
No, now she's telling the world, look, I really am right and I've been right the whole time. I just don't brag about it.
Wow. But her place in the world.
Yeah. I'd like to hang up now.
Her place in the world is not to pump you up and set you up for the next better girl that you're going to leave her for, Dave. That's what it makes like. It's what it sounds like you're saying.
Look, Kristen Bell might be listening, man.
Dave.
You know, that's what it is.
Now it's
total fantasy.
Wow.
Wow.
See?
Wow.
I mean, wow.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Dave used to joke about how rad he is. But I think thanks to you, Yasmin, now it has turned from a joke into reality.
Now the world knows how rad I am, dude.
You know what this is, guys? Seriously, this is Whoopi Goldberg. This is Whoopi Goldberg winning an Oscar. That's what this is. And all of a sudden, she thinks she's a great actress.
Yeah, he's been validated.
That's what this is. Yeah, he's been validated because he had one lucky break. He fell into the right vagina, and now all of a sudden, he thinks he's the best person in the world.
I am Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yasmin, can I give you some advice?
Yeah.
Don't return his calls for a while.
Yeah.
His tune will change so quick it'll make your head spin.
Play the no game game.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, you know, it's weird because now that after we hooked up, girls are like, oh, yeah, Dave, Dave. And then here, like me, they're like, oh, you've been with the King of Mexico?
So you're saying it makes Dave look better and you worse?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, when you popping out the Prince of Mexico. And I was like,
yeah, well, maybe you're made for each other.
Yeah. This did bring your reputation down. I'll tell you that. Yes,
yeah,
there's
I'm
no
going
question
down
about
a couple
that.
Notches, but it's okay.
Wow.
Hey, one last thing. How often are you giving it to Dave?
I don't know. Like we only see each other on the weekends because our work schedules are a little different. So I don't know.
So yeah, like once a week.
That King of Mexico has to work all the way till 10 a.m. That can be brutal.
So it's only what once or twice a week on the weekend is all you're doing it.
Yeah, about that.
Well, I think you need to skip a weekend, my dear. I think that's what needs to happen to get Dave's attitude.
I
back
need
in
to
line.
Skip a few weekends.
Yeah,
there you go. Now we're talking.
I'd like to see a
you're
couple
cut off,
of.
Dave, you're cut off.
Yeah, you wouldn't survive.
Oh!
You are the
not.
Dumbest man
you
I've ever.
Did not.
You're the stupidest human being I've ever met.
What do you mean?
Cool. He's just the coolest guy I've ever been with.
See?
He's that cool.
Yeah.
Dave, she's her and you're you. Why can't you see that?
Don't lose track of that. Never lose track of that.
Listen, Bean, you know I'm rad. Kevin knows I'm rad. Mike knows I'm rad. Yaz knows I'm rad. Now the world knows I'm rad.
But none of us think you're rad enough to sleep with, okay? None of us.
Well, I would hope not. You guys are all dudes.
Yeah. Yasmin?
I threw up in my mouth right now.
You know what to do.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
And you know what not to do.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Yeah, see you tonight.
It is the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and you're lucky enough to be tuned to the Kevin and Bean Show.
A really short list of the all-time great K-Rock bands. Ladies and gentlemen, wouldn't you have to say that Pennywise would be on
absolutely.
That list? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Fletcher, good morning. How are you?
Hello, sir.
Byron, how are you?
Good day, sir.
I understand Jim's resting his vocals in the next room because y'all are going to be singing in a little while.
No, he's here.
He's here.
He's in the room, too. Hey, Jim, welcome. Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
20 years, guys. What's it like? How's it feel?
Good.
Surprising.
You're making us feel old with the 20-year thing.
We started playing when we were 10.
We started when we were one, so yeah.
Yeah, you were one. Exactly right. Yeah. No, that's something to be proud of. I mean, let's face it, most bands don't make that. I mean, I'm sure that – I don't know if that was your plan when you got together as you guys looked at each other and said, I'm deeply in love. This is going to be for the rest of our lives. Huh, but amazing how it worked out. And Southern California, is this the biggest spot on the globe for y'all? Because I know you play everywhere, but is this this home base the biggest place for you?
Yeah, I mean the South Bay and LA is our home, and we have all our friends and a lot of fans here. The whole surf skate scene is really popular here, and we're popular in that realm. So Australia does pretty well for us.
We actually have a couple gold records in Australia, but the population down there is like pretty small, so it almost doesn't count.
You know, it's interesting when you're talking about MySpace and talking about you know, the way that is being used for promotion. You know, a lot of the bands that are on the Warped Tour this year, you know, groups like Against Me. I mean, that's, you know, that's a real factor in the rise of a group like that as they get on MySpace and a friend tells a friend, and the next thing you know, they built them, you know, quite an audience out there. I mean, it is a remarkable tool.
That's the tool that all the A&R guys are using now. They just surf MySpace looking for bands. I mean, most bands will have a video up, songs and. And it is a huge tool, and it's also, I mean, great for kids that can't get record deals. You know, they get on there, they put their stuff up, and they start generating a fan base, and before you know it, they're playing shows, and they don't even have a record out. And that's a really cool thing. And the music industry's evolving, and MySpace is a huge, you know, tool.
You know, speaking of huge tools, Governor Spitzer, you saw in the news a lot last week, that strumpet, his little hooker friend, you know, she's got music up. She's selling it. I mean, she's sold like 2 million singles or something like that.
That's
just
great.
Based on the notoriety from having sex with the guy.
I didn't know that.
I guess it was all part of the plan.
It's a new way to get your name out there.
Wow.
Yeah. Forget about sponsors. Just you know, have sex for money.
And whatever it takes, right? Pennywise is in the studio with us here on the world famous K-Rock this morning. What do you want to play first?
first, guys?
This one's called Western World.
Love it. Can't live without it. K-Rock. You got, guys?
We're gonna play a little,
yeah, a little Brohim,
yeah,
for all the fans out there and all the friends.
Jason,
some friends, friends, and pass beyond, especially those who were with us too long. Life is some old precious thing you can't lose. But you are here, the fun was never ending. Life admitted was only beginning. I'm
passing beyond. Especially those who work with
killer
us
bass
too
line,
long.
Randy.
Life is the most precious thing you can lose.
Oh, really? That's you, guy.
Oh, it is? Yeah, the bomb was never any. Left a minute was only the beginning. It's about two verses, one for you. That's it. Whoa, whoa,
it is the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and you're lucky enough to be tuned to the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, you see all sorts of political bumper stickers as you drive around town, Lisa, and I'm sure you've seen those ones that say 12009. You've seen those stickers on the back of the purse?
Oh, yes.
It's people counting down to the start of the new administration. A lot of people will be, you know, happy to see the president go. I am going to be sad to see Dick Cheney go. I have grown to really love this dude.
Have you?
He is
because he's so warm.
Yeah, he really is, man. Of course, his famous interview with Wolf Blitzer on the CNN.
You think Hillary Clinton would make a good president?
No, I don't.
Why?
Because she's a Democrat.
There's Dick, man. There's a guy who just says it like it is.
Well,
I love that about him.
He gives a lot of thought too.
He was on yesterday with the ABC White House correspondent talking about the 5-year anniversary of the Iraq War. Had this to say.
2/3 of Americans say it's not worth fighting.
So?
There you go. That's my boy. Come on. Tell me we're not going to miss that. Let's talk to the vice president, shall we? Mr. Cheney, good morning.
Hello?
Dick?
Yeah.
How are you, sir? Good morning. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right.
Well, listen, Mr. Cheney, the reason I wanted to have you on is because this news story recently about the two towns in Vermont that have approved a measure that instruct local police to arrest you and Mr. Bush if either of you are found in the city limits of those towns.
So?
They're suggesting crimes against the Constitution. They want you to be extradited and tried. And I was wondering if you had any reaction about, a community in your country that would issue a proclamation like that.
Yes, actually, the president and I have discussed it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to announce that as of today, we are implementing Operation Shock and Awe 2, and we will be invading Vermont.
Well, you can't declare war on your own country. I mean, you can't bomb.
Oh, really? Are you a politician? Are you a lawmaker? Are you some sort of constitutional expert?
Well, no, but no. You can't attack Vermont. I mean, they're a state in our union.
But I believe, given their current administration, we will be viewed as liberators.
You think they're being held against their will?
Yes, I think the people of Vermont will be happy to see us march into that state and. Set them up with a new democracy.
who's going to march? You got no one.
We've got soldiers.
Here?
I'm not at liberty to tell you where they are right now, but
okay.
We have them.
All right.
And we will
okay.
be, we have reason to believe that Vermont, despite being home to maple syrup, also is harboring some weapons of mass destruction.
Oh,
what?
You think they got a nuclear program out there in Vermont? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they bought some yellow cake uranium from Maine, and we believe they are developing a nuclear weapons program.
Do you have any proof of
that?
Yeah,
sure we do. Of course we do.
Can we see it?
Nope. It's not for your eyes, young lady. It's not for you. You let the big boys handle this, okay?
The men are talking.
Right. Just pipe down.
Mr. Vice President, it sounds like you just kind of make up whatever proof, quote unquote, you need to do whatever it is you want to do.
We have information from various intelligence sources that claim that Vermont is working hard on on maple syrup fusion.
I didn't even know scientifically that was possible.
It is. They have a dirty bomb that is nuclear in basis, and when it explodes, it sprays maple syrup all over you, and that that's hard to get out.
That's being sticky.
Yeah, sounds messy, yeah.
You get sticky, and then next thing you know, you're stuck.
and no one wants that.
God,
no one wants to be stuck. You get that on a computer keyboard, forget about it. Communications are paralyzed. So we are taking the necessary steps. We were going to go in, and we are going to shock and awe them. And then we will develop a new democracy. We will set up a new coalition that will stay there as long as necessary.
Okay.
Until the government of Vermont is a free and democratic government.
God, you could be there 100 years.
Whatever it takes.
Uh-huh.
We will not leave until the mission is accomplished.
Uh-huh. At first, before we had you on, sir, I was thinking this was a bad idea. But now that you've explained it and the good reasons you have for invading Vermont, I'm with you.
Have you ever seen Vermont?
No, I've never been, actually.
It blows.
We wouldn't miss it anyway.
You wouldn't miss it. No.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. They got syrup.
Yeah.
And a lot of flannel shirt guys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And a lot of tree cutters. What do they call it? Lumberjacks?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. A lot of those.
Yeah, right.
And they got a city named Montpelier. What the hell's that all about? It's a retarded name. Montpelier.
Well, that's all the reason you need, sir. Good luck with that.
I just took out some maple syrup.
This book is a book that needs to be distributed to every person who works in every business in America, I think. It is called Working With You Is Killing Me, and no one can read this book and not recognize somebody who's described in it. We're very happy to have the co-author of the book. We've got Kathy Elster. She wrote the book with Catherine Crowley. Again, Working With You Is Killing Me is the name of it. Kathy, welcome to K-Rock.
Good morning.
Am I right? Is this a book that applies to pretty much anyone who's ever had a job?
Oh, I think it does. I mean, it's hard. You know, it's unbelievable that you can write a book that would reach everyone, but I think we did it.
Well, what's the genesis of the idea? What made you guys decide this is a book that you had to do?
Well, I was a management consultant going into companies and helping their businesses grow after I had a successful company. And I just kept running into issues that were out of my scope of reality. I didn't understand why people were not getting along or why people were not reaching their goals. And then I was introduced to Catherine, and she had just gotten her degree in Harvard. And she started to explain to me that people have their own obstacles to success. And then we just started working together, and we've been together about 20 years now, and we do industrial psychology. We go in and we help companies change their cultures, and we mediate relationships. It's fascinating to me. I mean,
do you have about a full year available to come into K-Rock?
Yes.
Come on.
Full time?
All right, I'm on my way.
All right, good.
Let me ask you about a couple of the types that you write about in the book, and I'm sure people will recognize these, and then maybe we'll talk about how you ought to handle them if you're working with them. For instance, I won't mention any names. Everybody in the room knows who I'm talking about. We used to have a coworker who was the very definition of a drama queen.
Ah.
How do you describe the drama queen in your book?
Well, you know, we talk about it in several different places. I mean, they're really the unpleasable people. They're the needy. They're the people that just soak up your time. You know, they're very important. They're the center of everything. They tell too much information. They get too upset. You know, they just flow with too much emotion. We consider that in the boundary section, where we talk about people that, you know, just get in your face too much. And you actually have to confront those people.
Really?
Oh, think about it.
That sounds like a bad idea.
Well, you have to cool down before you confront them.
Oh, okay.
You're talking about the type of people who every time you talk to them, everything is a crisis, everything is the end of the world, everything is the most important
thing.
And
it's about them.
And it's always about them, and they're always the ones who are being persecuted or whatever it is.
Right.
So when you go to confront a drama queen, how do you handle that? How do you bring something like that up when you know that they're going to become emotional almost instantly?
Right. Well, you're absolutely right, and you have to understand that they're going to be that way. Don't expect them to react differently. But you have to get very clear on what it, you know, you have to communicate it very clearly. But there's two ways of communicating. We talk about the high road and the low road. You know, the low road is saying, I can't stand you. But the high road would be, you know, taking it a little better and actually thinking it through, calming down, and finding the words to say to this person that's going to move the conversation further.
Excuse me, but I have to tell you that when it comes to standing you, I can't.
So, you know, one of the problems with confronting someone at work is that you then have to see them day after day, and often people hold a grudge. I had an instance, and I get along with pretty much everyone, where this girl absolutely stopped talking to me and would walk away if I came near and shot me dirty looks for months. It was miserable.
Right. Well, but you allowed it to be miserable. I mean, there's a way to change your own reaction to it. At least she wasn't bothering you. And that's the same kind of, you know, whether she's snubbing you or she's talking too much, she's just irritating you. But you have to learn to change your reaction to it. If you don't get offended by it, she probably will stop.
Interesting.
You know, you have to detach from taking it personally.
We have Kathy Elster on the line. She's the co-author of a book in stores now called Working With You Is Killing Me. What's the type of the 10 obnoxious coworkers that you write about in the book, the type that most people complain to you about that they have in their work environment?
Well, we hear a lot about the exploders, you know, the people that just scream. There's a lot of screamers out there. Yeah, and also we hear about the avoider boss, you know, the boss that you go to and you want to raise, but the boss is afraid of any kind of confrontation and just doesn't have your back and won't support you. We hear a lot of...
What's that?
Kevin, do you have a coughing spell? What's going on here?
Just a little something in my throat.
Okay, you talk so you about... have an avoider there.
Yes.
We're like every other office in America, Kathy. We have every single person that you describe in your book. We have somewhere
in the avoider
is
one of the most difficult to deal with.
I'm sorry. What about the coworker who just reads to you out of the paper really non-interesting things all day? Is that one of the ones you have?
Those kind of people don't exist,
absolutely.
Kevin.
Absolutely. We talk about the person who invades your space. Yeah, they're very, you know, they're needy. They don't even want you to respond. They just want you
to
listen.
They just want to talk. That's true.
Why do I feel like I'm being talked about when I'm here in the room? Luca, he is in Anaheim. Tell us about your problem.
Hey, Pope is out. Party people, what's going on?
Pope is out.
Pope is out.
Okay, I think we all had a chance to work with the guy who smells like ass and mayonnaise.
Oh, I did.
I mean, ass and mayonnaise?
Yeah, ass and mayonnaise. Disgustingly. I mean, this guy who leans up against the wall and leaves a stain.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, disgustingly. I mean,
Lisa, you're
on my list.
I had a guy, we used to work in these like little booths and they were connected by doors, and this guy would walk through to his, which was the last one, and leave his scent in all the other rooms. What was his name? And here's the thing, I'm never going to tell you. And I finally said something to him. I said, look, I don't know, you're separated, maybe you're not washing your clothes enough. I don't know, he was working another job overnight, but it didn't change it at all.
Luca, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
I am LA's news, and I hope I deliver the goods, but I got to admit that I don't care anymore. It's because I have the seniority.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's go to Rafe. Rafe is calling us from Hollywood. Hi, you're on K-Rock.
Yeah, hi, guys. How you doing? I just think everyone's probably worked with those people, too, where there's like the guys who are above you. They're sort of like your bosses, you know, but you know that you're much more credible and much more qualified to do their job than they are, and you're more talented than they are, but they're the guys. They got their name on the show, you know. And so
I'm sorry, on the show?
Well, or job or business or office or whatever.
I totally know what you're talking about.
And you're the guy like, slaving away there, keeping the thing rolling.
And they just take the credit?
They get all the credit, and they're the big cheeses, and it's just frustrating.
I hear that.
You know, it's just hard.
And what can you do?
Like, one guy is like a doofus, and the other one's like a freak who lives on an island.
No, I'm not familiar with that. Is this Ralph?
Worst.
No, my name's Rafe.
Rafe.
Oh, Rafe. Rafe. Okay, because you sounded like a guy that we do. Thank you very much for the call, Rafe. We appreciate that. Let's go to Michelle in Diamond Bar. Now, this is one we haven't talked about yet, but this I can imagine this would be tough to work with. Hi, Michelle. You're on K-Rock. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Pope was out.
Pope was out.
I have the most annoying, loudest coworker in the world. She's across. We're separated by bathrooms. I mean, people flush the toilet, and you still hear her cackling across, screaming and yelling, talking really loud, and there's nothing, and she has to be in everybody's business. And while you're talking to her, she's, you're right, yeah. And you can't even put a word in edgewise.
Yeah, she just talks all the time and louder than everybody else and monopolizes the whole conversation.
I mean, it's ear-piercing. It hurts your head. It's so loud. Yeah. And, you know, I have a job where we're in the field a lot, so they give us cars, and she'll have to complain about what car you have, and why do you have this car, why do you work these hours, and go and complain to the boss, and you can hear her telling on everybody.
Michelle, has anyone ever talked to her and said, hey, bring it down about 100 decibels?
Oh, everybody. Some of her closest friends tell her, and then she'll say, what are you talking about? I'm loud, you're loud. And then she goes on about how loud everyone else is.
That hurts. All right. Thank you very much for the call. We move along now to the Valley in Sherman Oaks. We've got, is this Lita?
Yes, it's Lita.
Hi, Lita.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I don't know if anybody else has this problem, but my boss dyes his hair blonde. And the thing is that his head is enormous. And so he comes in with this, like, blindingly almost white blonde hair.
Is this once a month?
And Lika. And I can't see anything. I'm actually blinded. I have gone to the eye doctor to have my vision checked. And nobody can see. They can't see their computers. And what do you say? The guy's your boss. But, my God, I've never seen hair that color or hair that big before.
Hey, Lika, let me ask you a question. Are you sexually attracted to this guy?
I don't know. I can't see him. I'm blind.
He's blind, exactly. All right, Lika, thank you for the call.
All right.
And by the way, the improv classes are paying off if she comes up with Lika. At least I gave her Lita. All right, let's do a couple more, and then we'll bring in Sal. Let's go to Valerie. Valerie is in Fullerton. Hi, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Valerie, what's the situation with your boss?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
She's not back yet from the call.
I'm here. Hello. Hope it's out.
I had this boss when I was working at Blockbuster. I was a manager. She was the head manager. And she would scream at me in front of customers for absolutely nothing.
Really?
In front of the customer, she wouldn't take me in the back, or she wouldn't take me like around the side, or anything like that. No, she just full on and go, "What did you do last night? Like when you were closing, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. You know, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? And why did I even hire you as a manager? You should have just stayed as like you know the little, you know, the people or whatever."
Did you ever try to say, "Hey, I know I'm screwing up sometimes. Is it possible for you not to yell at me in front of people?"
Every day.
No
I
kidding.
Said that.
That hurts. That hurts. All right, Valerie, thank you for the call. I'm sure that one's in the book, too. And finally, we're going to this is Kelvin listening to us on the Internet in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Hi, guys. My name's Kelvin.
Hi, Kelvin.
I'm glad you guys are streaming now, finally. That's great. Listen, I work with a guy who keeps his donkey's balls in a jar in a locker.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I work with another guy who sits behind me, and he spends a lot of time looking at my ass, and he does a bunch of weird dances like he's having fun and stuff, but I know he's trying to figure out a way to have sex with me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is sexual harassment.
Who spends most of her time looking at her chops, and she's looking at me, and I'm like, you know, I'm not a piece of meat here.
Oh, wow. That must be
It must be so hard to be you.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think I quit.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ, keeping you up to date with all the latest projects in the hood.
I don't know if you've seen this. It's becoming a popular trend where, for example, Michael Jackson reissued Thriller with some updated versions and some remixes and stuff like that because it's 25 years later.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to sell albums these days. So record companies are going through the catalog and they're going, what can we re-release maybe with some new tracks or some remixes or something like that, get people to buy essentially the same album over again and make a little bit extra cash. And that's what they're doing. It seems like every week there's another one that's out there.
Now, Dr. Dre has reissued some of the Death Row stuff.
That's correct.
That's what I'm hearing. Snoop, Warren G, Nate Dogg, a bunch of people going back into the studios and reimagining their songs, perhaps, or remixing them. And I believe we have Nate Dogg on the phone. Good morning, Nate.
Yeah, what's up?
Okay.
First round.
All right, we should mention, by the way, that unfortunately over the holidays, Nate Dogg had a little bit of a stroke, paralyzing the left side of his body. But you're going to be okay. You're going to recover, right, Nate Dogg?
Yeah, Dogg. We're fine. Dog is hold up.
What?
Kevin, the fried chicken was disappointed.
I love you on the New Year's Eve show with Ryan Seacrest. First of all, let me say that. But
dog,
second of
all, dog, old I.
What?
Smoke weed. Okay.
All right. Why don't you let us do most of the talking here, Nate Dogg? Basically, you're on because you have gone back and you've reimagined some of the classic Nate Dogg songs from the 90s, and that's what's out for people to buy, right?
Shizzle, dog. It's my early dog work.
You mind if I pick it up from here?
Yeah.
We have some clips. The first one, I believe, is Ain't No Fun. Anything you want to tell us about that?
Oh, yeah, good.
I remember this song from 1993. Snoop Dogg.
Snoop?
Snoop Dogg.
Right, okay. Here's a clip that you can get now.
When I met you last night, before you opened up again. I had respect for lady, but now I can't
Cause you gave me honey puss.
What, huh?
And you even licked my balls.
Doesn't seem like a party.
Just leave my number on the camera. But I promise forever, give me a call.
All right, listen.
And then a friend comes.
This is my favorite part.
Thunder. Come on over. Break your roof. And if you can't fresh, then a baby, just lay back and refresh your mouth. Because I've never been.
All right, stop this. Come on. Stop this. Wait,
just look at the point. I love who I was.
There's nothing funny about a stroke, first of all.
That is so true, Dick.
Hey, party people. Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. I know what you're thinking. You guys will put anything on the radio. Believe it or not, there is some stuff we turn down. Assistant producer Alex, the super whore, has joined us in the studio. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, good morning.
You have been the firewall of the Kevin and Bean Show for many years now. You are hard at work keeping, as hard as this is to believe from people who listen to the show, keeping things that are even worse from making it to the air.
Well, apparently my veto on your friend's voicemail was not strong enough.
Well, it's time for bad pitches.
Bad, 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 bad. Pitches for you.
Are you just trying to waste our time with your bad celebrity expert spokesman or public relations pitch?
Bad, 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 bad pitches for you.
Silly waste of time, dumb pitch.
Damn it.
See? You know what's odd is that we get these emails all the time from different PR companies and stuff like that, and you read it and you go, really? I mean, I want to talk to these people and say, how many yes votes did you get on this anywhere in the world?
Look, it's not their fault. They have
horrible.
Crappy clients.
It's not. Horrible.
It's
not
like a record label trying to pump a crappy band.
Oh.
Yeah, you know.
You do feel bad for them, though, if that's their job, is if somebody's, and I don't know which pitches you have for us today, but somebody's written a book about, you know, healthy snacks to eat while you watch football or something. So they're trying to get interviews around the Super Bowl, and nobody wants to talk to that person. But you feel bad that that's their job.
I have something better than that, Bean. I have bird songs from around the world.
Bird songs?
Yep, featuring... Featuring what? Songs of 200 birds
Shut
from the
up.
Cornell Lab.
Wait a minute.
Dude, it's a follow-up to last year's bestseller, Bird Songs, North American Birds in Song.
Is this a CD?
Yeah. Oprah Magazine says it's sweet music for serious birders. Oh.
What? Dear God,
please
really?
Please die. Dying to find out their audience.
So we can have the guy on, and we can play little mm-hmm. snippets of birds, and he can tell us why they're cool?
Yeah, we can talk to Les Beletsky, a great gift for all occasions.
I'm going with no on that one.
A great gift. Now
for
I know what to
burgers,
do for
burgers, by the way.
Hey, guys, what are you going to do for Leap Day?
Leap Day? Okay.
Are you going to celebrate the year of the frog at your local zoo or aquarium?
You know it. With the Kevin and Bean Party Machine, year of the frog.
With the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, they're holding fun events and programs to educate people about amphibian conservation. You can investigate salamander habitats.
I believe we already heard.
All right, fine. How about the Gay Uncle's Guide to Parenting?
Wait a minute.
That may be a good
Hold
one.
On a second. The Gay Uncle's
Let's
Guide.
Let's not buzz too quickly on this one. Tell us parenting.
Look, apparently, you know, gay people have been telling hetero people how to dress, eat, and live with, like, Tim Gunn, the Fab Five. So why wouldn't they tell us straight people how to parent? Come on, breeders. Read about the sassy, funny, in-your-face guide. What?
The Gay Uncle's Guide to Parent. Can I buzz it now, Bean?
Well, no wait.
Yes, because- now you can.
No,
yes,
wait.
We've heard enough.
Because
right.
We can hear why. We can finally admit that babies usually smell funny. Accept it and move on.
Come on with
That's
that.
That's a chapter.
Why would they? Who are these people?
Okay, this one actually comes from a listener.
Okay.
Nick Heinle? Henkel. I can't tell. It's weird. Okay. But he's got a new product called the Fish and Flush.
The
oh,
Fish
I like
and
the
Flush.
Fish and Flush.
What?
Damn it, Lisa.
What is,
I knew
what
you
is
would.
It?
It's a whimsical pot.
First of all, don't use the word whimsical ever. Ever. That's never good.
Hang on. I'm sorry. I was looking at the picture while whimsical I was trying to read it.
Come on.
It's a whimsical Plush. Potty that turns your toilet into a nautical wonderland.
What? It's an aquarium the instead tank, of a tank.
Instead
on
of
your
a tank,
with fish.
It's Lisa. An aquarium. So you can pee and feed your fish.
Lisa, you realize you're acting excited about this.
I thought this would be funny to talk to this guy.
Because it's bad, you mean.
Yeah. Lisa, I heard you have a new blog, and you can talk about musicals and the fish and flush on your blog.
I can't believe Bean wasn't all over this.
So when you flush, you feed the fish?
Yeah,
is that where it goes?
It's a safe,
fish-friendly
aquarium for your bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the water. It's the tank behind the toilet, and it's completely separate, not at all related
to... But that's where the water comes from.
There are live animals behind you while you're peeing.
So you get one flush, and then they're gone.
I don't know.
You need to get another fish.
Maybe that's how it works.
Thank you. All right. Okay. Very timely, like, you know, Ralph's love of Eddie Money. Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, what's he doing?
God.
Come on the show with his guitar and
kill
talk
me.
About his new book, Puff the Magic Dragon.
No.
Kill
me.
Oh,
wow.
So bad.
Kill me.
Send that one down to K-Earth or something, I think.
Now, this is my last one, and I have a feeling Mike might want to vote yes on this.
Then
I'm
voting no. I'm voting no, sight unseen.
But there's a new website called MyDamnChannel.com, and they have a new TV show called Cooking with Coolio.
I'm sorry. Did you say Cooking with Coolio?
Yeah. The Gangster's Paradise rapper has a new show, Cooking with Coolio. The ghetto witch doctor superstar chef is here to make you forget about every cooking show you've ever seen.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
This is a guy who used to have number one records, and now he's not only doing a cooking show, but it's not even on television. It's on the internet.
Yes, it's on the internet. You can watch it on the internet. Apparently the residuals from Gangster's Paradise are not enough, so he's got to cook shrimp online for you to watch.
Does that give you street cred? I'm not down with the rappers today. Is that what you need for street cred, is your own cooking show?
I don't know, but no, it's Cook-In, apostrophe.
Cook-In.
Cook-In.
Oh, that makes all the difference.
Because he's,
guys,
you
may have buzzed too quickly. I may want to vote yes on talking to Coolio. Come on.
Can't have a party without Coolio.
Yo, what's up? Coolio with the flow of the neighborhood. Ghetto witch doctor superhero down to go toe-to-toe with any. Hey, Frank and Joe, straight from the 4-0. T-H-E-V-Z, Foley Thieves in the house. Mass Circle for life. Baby.
Okay, thanks, gentlemen. Coolio, thanks for coming by.
All right, yeah.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, you've always had questions for your brown friends and neighbors. Now's your chance to get answers.
Lisa May, what country immediately springs to mind when I tell you this is where the second richest man in the world lives?
Well, I would think in the U.S.
You are correct. Mexico City, ladies and gentlemen. Mexico City has the second richest man in the world. I'm going to be completely honest and tell you that I'm sure Lightning has admired this guy for years because he loves the billionaires. I never heard of this guy before this week. But Carlos Slim is his name. So it's Bill Gates at number one. And this guy, who apparently made his fortune in wireless telecommunications, is number two. He's worth $53 billion. Okay?
Whoa.
$53 billion.
That is unbelievable.
In a country where minimum wage is about 50 cents an hour.
It does seem like he could own Mexico. It just seems like he could literally buy everything in Mexico for $53 billion. But we thought, how crazy is this? And what a unique opportunity we have to talk to the man himself on the phone right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Buenos dias, Kevin. How are you, man?
We're good. How are you?
Woo! I'm rich, baby. Hey, Chico, I'm rich. Hey! Good morning to you, man.
Was that a gun?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, you like
okay.
That? Okay.
Why,
baby?
Right, but why
are you not, Chico?
Okay, but why, we like you very much, Mr. Slim. But why are you shooting off a weapon? It seems like that would be dangerous.
Because I can, bitch. Rico, hey, check that. Eh?
Now, there is part of the story that's a little bit troubling. Is that you were criticizing the philanthropy of Bill Gates and Warren Buffett?
Hey, why you give your money away, you pussy? Huh? I work hard for the money. You know what I'm saying?
And you said businessmen can do more good by building solid companies than by, quote, going around like Santa donating money.
That's right, man. You know why? They're weak, man. They're came up, made my money on the streets. I sell chiglets, you know. I do the donkey show and I'm a little boy.
No.
You know, there's like 7 years old with a mustache. I'm in Rosarito Beach. I'm in Rosarito Beach. I sell chiclets. And now I make TV and I make money, baby. Yeah!
Okay. It says here, forgive me if I'm wrong, but it says here you have Latin America's largest mobile phone company.
That's right. I'm multimedia, baby.
You have banks. You have internet providers. You have oil industry.
Anything
and
you want.
Retail stores
and restaurants.
Anything
you want. Okay. I get you what you want.
All right. But here's what I don't understand, Senor.
I got got chickens too, bitch. I got chicken. You want chickens, Chico?
No, they
no. We don't, we don't need a chicken.
I'm rich.
But
baby,
here's, I think, what Kevin was asking is, why are Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, why are they, to put it in your words, pussies for trying to improve the world by giving money away? I mean, they're using their money to help you know, cure diseases, get clean water to Africa, and they're doing a lot of good with it.
Because, Chico, you want to know what I do with my money?
Right.
Let me see here. Look at this Dodger blanket I got, eh?
You have a Dodger blanket?
It's so warm. I was cold. Now I'm warm.
But how much money?
It's got Dodgers on it, eh?
Don't they give that away free, sir?
Hey, whatever.
Right. Yeah, but
I
with
got
50...
a 1983 Nissan Mini truck, huh? I just put a huge mural on it where I'm dressed like an Aztec, and there's a waterfall hitting my head, and my girlfriend, my highness, next to me, and she's got bullets covering her chichis. It's beautiful.
But with $50 billion, you could buy the company that makes the car. You don't just have to buy a beat-up used car. You could do so much more with that money.
Hey, I'm Mexican. I got $50 billion, no credit. You know what I'm saying? Universal City, Nissan, what can I do? Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? I got a floor-to-ceiling stained glass window with the Virgin Mary in a Raider jersey.
In a Raider jersey. That does sound impressive.
Wow. Yeah. You sound like you're quite out of breath, sir.
Hey, I'm rich.
Yeah?
I'm fat.
Okay.
Hey, I talk about my hair now. I got the mural on my truck.
Uh-huh.
I bought that bitch lifetime supply of press-on nails, hairspray, and eyebrow pencil.
That doesn't sound like it's putting... That doesn't sound like much of a dent in your in your wealth.
There's eyebrow pencils all over the house. It's amazing. You want to do an eyebrow? I said, walk over there. Mira, look, an eyebrow pencil right there, everywhere. Look right here. Look at me. Fine. Look at that. Oh, eyebrow pencil in my hand.
Well, you're living the big life, I'll tell you that.
Huge tattoo. Mr. Cartoon come down with a tattoo on me.
Oh, you got cartoon.
My mom in her baptism dress.
Right.
Holding two guns, doing the L.A. Dodgers sign with her fingers. Her nails are like 3 inches long.
That's a hell of a tattoo.
I pay the Gap Man and Rolls Royce to live in my house and play me do a song all day.
Is that right?
You know, Drew Barton is playing for me.
They live with you.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm living the life, Chico. And I tell you what, man. I got a pool in my backyard.
Right.
So I go swimming, you know what I'm saying?
Of course, yeah.
I bought 15 pair of Levi's so I can go swimming every day.
You don't have a swimsuit?
Why don't you wear a swimsuit?
That's what you wear in the pool, right? In the water, you wear Levi's.
Levi's? No.
But no, what you doing?
You're wearing board
Mexican
shorts. Or...
No, no. You go in the water, you need the Levi's.
Okay.
All right. Maybe the Dickies.
Hey, party people. Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for tuning in. Get ready for a recap of one of the greatest events in the history of the show.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Rob Durden Day. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big. Wow!
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Rob Durden. Rob Durden stopped by.
Why would I say that?
I've heard it multiple times.
I was going to ask you.
I watch that show regularly.
I'd like to know if you... Do you know a Rob Durden?
I don't.
Is that where that was coming from?
Why would I say that?
Your childhood friend with a Rob Durden?
I have it written down right on my... In my paperwork?
Rob
Did
Dyrdek.
You used to
Rob
throw Dyrdek. Rocks Dyrdek. At a guy named Rob Durden?
No, Rob Durden. Robbie Joyner.
Rob Durden.
Wow.
You watch the show and you
I watch the show regularly.
And you know his name.
Yes.
Off the air, you've been fine.
Yep. Yeah. On air, you've, to his face, every time called him Rob Durden.
Why wouldn't someone say, hey, what's that about?
Because too funny. We said, let's see how long Kevin
Come
can
on.
Go before he corrects himself. Well, answer now, was, never.
Now I'm a jackass.
Now.
I'm just saying, I liked him.
You want to listen one more time?
Yep.
No.
Rob Dyrdek was,
no.
in, was in the station.
And
Come
now,
on.
It's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Rob Durden Day. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big.
That was A Moment.
Why wouldn't he correct
Kevin?
Me?
Too nice.
Polite.
Too nice.
What the hell?
I have bought the website, though, What Would Rob Durden Do? I've got that up and running. So if you need to check
wow.
that out for entertainment news, you can find that.
We can't stop you, by the
That's
way.
That's a surprise. Yes, well, somebody could point it out if I'm being such an idiot.
When you see those interviews of, like, old Nazi generals that they find somewhere in Argentina, they're like, why didn't you try and stop Hitler? You're like, you can't. You just can't.
It just wasn't that. You don't know. You weren't there. It was a different sort of atmosphere.
That's
we feared for our lives. We were just following orders. That's what we say.
That's embarrassing.
Right. I'm sure Rob Dirt in some places is very happy that you mentioned him so much on the air.
Remember when I ran into, I can't remember which member it was of U2, I called him by the wrong name. That was good.
Yeah, you sat next to him at the Grammys when you were a seat filler that year.
Mm-hmm. He said, hey, Bono, how's it going?
I can't remember.
It was The Edge?
It was, yeah, something like that. John I was like, Perry? Oh, sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me. I got a word scramble.
Rob Durden.
I've got a word scramble going on in my head.
Yeah. Maybe you should ask Corinne Raley Bay.
Come on, you guys. Don't let me be such a jackass if he's in the studio.
What are we going to say on the air live,
yes!
Kevin? It's Dudek.
You've never corrected me before on the air.
I wasn't in the studio at the time to do that. I was in the other room howling with laughter.
They did put it up on the call screen. I think Lightning put up on the call screen with the pronunciation. It's Dudek is what it said up on
the
screen.
And I was annoyed by that because I know.
That's right.
I was. I actually thought, what is he doing?
Why we don't correct you. Because you get annoyed at us.
I watch that show regularly. What a douche.
Because Kevin, God damn it.
The radio show in your head sounds a lot better than the one that comes out of your mouth.
I'm not a fan of me.
Yeah.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Robin Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big. Yeah.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Hey, Rob.
Rob Durden's on the phone right now, Kevin.
Hey, Rob. Dude.
Rob Durden here.
Why is it that you would not, I mean, after the like third time, why wouldn't you correct me?
You want to know what? It was kind of funny to me. But
everyone's laughing except for me.
Look, but B kept saying, like, enunciating it at you, and you weren't hearing it. So I was like, it's almost kind of funny that you can't hear everybody else saying it. I'm trying to help him.
Every time I would say it wrong, I don't even remember this, but immediately afterwards would say it right.
Yeah.
And why does anyone want our guests to be embarrassed?
And our producer put it up on your computer screen there for you to see, Kevin.
He did it. When I saw that up on the screen, I thought, well, I know that. Why is he putting that up there?
You got annoyed with him.
I was very annoyed. I had no idea. I was,
Yeah, you couldn't pretty much butcher it any worse.
Hey, you're lucky it was just
or dire deck.
Yeah,
but it's hard to miss that K. It's hard to turn that K into an N.
It is it hard is. To do Durden. Yeah.
Durden is fresh.
I don't know where that came from. I know your name.
You know what I'm saying? You want to know? You just know me as Rob.
I do.
Rob
that's true.
Big.
But all right, Rob. I'm sorry.
How lucky are you, Kevin, that only Rob came in and not Bag?
You've heard that famous Andy Warhol quote about the 15 minutes of fame that everyone gets. Isn't this guy at like 3 hours? Shouldn't we have stopped hearing about freaking KFED by now?
First, let's talk about KFED for a minute. KFED apparently has been rumored for a while. It was going to join the cast of Legally Blonde on Broadway.
That breaks my heart.
KFED.
I can't tell you.
On Broadway, KFED.
No.
Can you imagine Lisa being the Broadway junkie that she is?
What could I do? I'd
have
to stop going.
She'd have to skip a Broadway show. She'd have to not go to one. Can you imagine that happening?
I've never heard it. I would never even consider that.
I don't know what I'd do.
A lot of reports have been out. Like, he's been in talks with. I heard one report where they were disagreeing on money.
That's what I heard. He was supposed to do Legally Blonde, I think.
Right.
Was the show. And they were in negotiations, and he backed off because they weren't offering him the money he wanted.
No way.
They never offer a lot of money.
No, those guys don't make a lot of money on Broadway.
I'm saying it doesn't make any difference. If they offered him a dollar, he would do it. Don't you think?
Dude, he's big ball and rolling deep. He doesn't do chump change.
Here's what I think. He has no concept of what theater is like and what it pays.
KFED,
I mean,
how dare you?
Julia Roberts didn't make tons of money doing it either.
Well, let's talk to him. We've lined him up on the phone. Good morning, Kevin.
Yeah. What's up?
How you doing?
I'm living large, dog. Thug life. Bitch.
Yeah, that's Broadway talk
there. Yeah, what's happening, dog?
All right, tell us about the rumors of you going to Broadway to be in Legally Blonde.
Legally Not Cool is what it should be called.
Wow, good one, Federlezzi.
Yeah, burn them. Is
it true or not? I mean, have you been talking to him?
Yeah, I was talking to him, but you know, they were giving me you know what I'm saying? They're trying to play me out, trying to give me the bootleg cash. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I'm
number
one triple threat. Okay, you know what I'm saying?
What?
I will be packing the seats, you know what I'm saying? Be filling up the show. You know, they had trouble selling out theaters, and they wanted to bring K-Feezy in to fix that. You know what I'm saying? And because of that, they should offer me at least seven figures. And they're coming up with a chump change, and I'm like, I'm out. I bounced.
So you think your large fan base would fill the theaters in Broadway?
I'm saying G's up, hoes down. Recognize, thank you.
Wow. I don't even know what that means. What are the three arms of the triple threat exactly that you pose?
Smoke, drink, pimp.
Okay.
No, it's got all three of those going.
Yeah, recognize?
All right, so they
offered seven figures to do a Broadway show?
Yeah, and I'm like, it better be multiple seven figures. You know what I'm saying? Maybe even closer to eight figures.
Aren't you lucky that they're even discussing this with you?
Aren't you lucky you're on the phone with the black Nubian prince of them all? You know what I'm saying? Obama, 08, don't play or hate. No more drama. Vote for Obama.
I don't know what that meant.
White devil bitch.
So, so you're not going to be in Legally Blonde. That's not going to happen.
No. Okay. But
so you're not doing Broadway. You're not doing Broadway at all.
That is
no. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true.
Is it true?
I realized that when I was in talks with Legally Blonde,
mm-hmm.
that you know the East Coast and the theater scene may have a lot to offer Kevin Federlezzi. You know what I'm saying? I was rolling up and down Broadway. I was like, damn. This may be where I was born to be. You know what I'm saying? I can act. I can show off my musical talent, which you know is immense.
Yeah,
and
we saw how well that went.
I can allow people to see me in my natural state. Sometimes I feel like when I watch myself when I'm on TV on like One Tree Hill or CSI, you know, you've seen me on TV before.
Sure.
Yeah.
I feel like the film can taint or distort the true essence of Kevin Federlezzi. I want people to see me in my raw, natural state, like a true black man is supposed to be seen. Darker the berry, sweeter the juice.
You're not black.
And you shouldn't be filming your taint anyway.
All right, so what's the song that I have here? What is this?
Well,
did you do a song about it, a rap song?
I put together a little bit of a Broadway audition tape. You know what I'm saying? So people could see kind of what I'm like. You know what I'm saying? I did a little filming of me dancing. Mm-hmm. I did, you know, because you guys know I could dance. I mean, you can't deny my dancing.
Well, you're a backup dancer, sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to put together a little bit of music that wasn't rapping. You know what I'm saying? It was a little more Broadway-oriented so that people could see that I got game. You know what I'm saying? And then maybe I'll get the figures and the contract that I deserve to go over to Broadway.
So you've put together a reel of other sort of Broadway numbers that you can show producers hoping to land a gig on Broadway.
Yeah, I mean, all right, I think I sent over the CD to Lightning. You guys, the first one, like, there was, I guess it was some play called Rent.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a huge success on Broadway.
Huge play, yes.
So I was like, there's a song in there called Seasons of Change and stuff. I mean, I haven't seen Rent.
Okay.
I didn't take the time, but I tried to, like, just go with it and show that I could flow, you know what I'm saying, with like, the Broadway style.
Okay.
So you
did Seasons of Change love.
From Rent.
Exactly.
Seasons of something. It makes any difference.
Seasons in the Abyss.
Okay.
Seasons in the Sun.
Here's K-Fed trying for Broadway.
525,600 minutes.
Yeah.
That's how long I played Guitar Hero yesterday. 525,600 minutes. I played PlayStation and then I smoked weed. I played it, then smoked weed, and then I played more PlayStation.
Right.
I smoked weed, and then I played a lot more PlayStation.
Yeah.
AIDS is weak, it really sucks. Don't have no butt sex. If you get AIDS, I really feel like that really stinks.
Yeah.
I really want to smoke more weed. This song ain't that dope.
That's true.
Yeah, ooh. Barack Obama, 08.
Oh, what is that?
I think if you're going to be on Broadway, K-Fed, you're going to have to learn the actual lyrics of the song.
That would be nice.
Look, I ain't got time for that. You know what I'm
even
saying?
Even see, just see it.
I was trying to watch it. I rented Rent.
Yeah, right. Then, yeah.
I was like, damn, this is kind of boring, man. So I just went to the studio. I just vibed on it. I riffed on it. Remember that song On Broadway?
Yeah.
Legendary song, sure.
Okay, so I thought I'd give it a little mix of that because it's about Broadway. Hey, check it out.
Yeah. Pow. Dang, dang, dang. Wicked dang.
Got the intro
skeet,
down.
Skeet. I wonder if they have cornbread on Broadway.
On Broadway.
Nice.
I'm really hungry for fried chicken and grits.
Grits.
I really want to smoke a blunt and watch Scarface. That girl right there's got a really nice ass. Da da.
Who do you got singing backup there, dude?
Me.
That's you?
Yeah.
Oh, you.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's all about Ken Fedelizzi.
So how does that song help you?
Because it's about Broadway, dog.
Well, I know, but it's not from a Broadway.
It's not even about Broadway. You changed the lyrics to making about fried chicken and nice asses.
I'm not going to take time to listen. That song was whack, too. So I was like, let me just do my own. You know what I'm saying? My art represents my life. You know what I'm saying? Thug life.
Right.
Okay.
I didn't choose it. Listen, how about the ABBA play? What was the ABBA play?
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
Word. I knew that. So I was like, they do ABBA songs. ABBA's dope, right?
Right.
So
ABBA was dope in the late 70s, but go ahead.
Yes. So they sold a lot of records. They move weight.
They did.
What I'm
That's true.
They move weight.
Most popular bands in the world.
Okay. So I figured I'd do a little Dancing Queen.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. You can dance. You can
watch a girl dancing queen. Smoke weed. Yeah. Get black. You can't get
it's Friday night and the lights are low.
Lights are low.
Britney Spears is a big fat hoe.
Come on. That's true.
I like sex. And big fat checks.
Checks.
Cadillacs. With big fat rims.
24s, y'all.
Yeah. Jazzed it up. Yeah.
That wasn't...
From the street.
How do you learn... How do you lose the lyrics after You Can Dance? At that point, you were already saying la, 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 la. I don't know the lyrics either, but I'm not trying out for it.
In the clubs, like, they play that sometimes. I knew there was a part that said, You Can Dance.
Right.
Not, lights are low.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I worked with it.
How much time did you put into this audition tape?
Dog, easily, like a half hour. I remember... Because I remember that... see, some show on the CW was on.
Right.
Okay, and when I got back, it was over.
So
that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. I mean, I hope this lands you the gig that you wanted.
You know it will, dog. I feel good about it. You know what I'm saying? In my heart.
Okay, mm-hmm. K-Fed.
Well, word to your mother.
Prepare for a massive exaggeration.
What is it you're going to mock me about now?
Well, we have several bean features. He's like a little puppy that demands to be beaten. I don't know why he demands it.
No,
but
no puppy demands to be beaten. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's correct. Except for you, who demand to be beaten, and then
you've
can't
already you've already done What's Up with Bean's blog. You've already done that in the last week or so. What can be left to mock me?
Here's the thing: we used to think that Bean's blog would keep all of his various interests away from us. Because
it would be a release valve,
yes,
essentially.
Because when we're listening to songs, or you're listening to songs, we're in the room, and Bean just says whatever comes to his head. There's no conversation going on about any of the topics.
Nope.
He just brings stuff up. So we thought, yeah, blog, that'll be great. You can put all of that in there. That doesn't really work that way. Now he blogs, and he puts all that meaningless stuff there, also with no eye whatsoever toward the to the receiver or what they might think. He says things to us.
He just barfs his brain onto us.
He barfs his brain.
Wow. Wow. That hurts.
That is
right?
A good description.
But I have been sensitive to your complaints about thanks for the info, Bean.
Really?
I guess is probably where you're headed for this. I've been sensitive to that in the past, and I have made a conscious effort to really zip it up in the last couple of months. I mean,
zipped it up.
I am telling you that I don't speak unless it's essential, unless it's necessary, unless it's gold.
I write down word for word when Bean says something. It comes out of the blue. No one's having a discussion about whatever the topic is. He just says the most random things. I write them down. I write down specifically how he says it word for word. And then I write down if stupid Lisa has to respond to him, I say Lisa or Mike or whoever. So here's another rousing rendition of
Thanks for that info, Bean.
By the way, out of nowhere, by the way, my favorite IHOP and my second favorite Denny's both closed in the last couple of months. And then I put in parentheses, no one says anything, and then Bean continues. I don't know what's going on, but it's disturbing.
Well, it is. Thanks for that info, Bean.
That's you zipped up? Is that what that is?
As a matter of fact, it is. Come on, Kevin. If you had a favorite restaurant that closed down, you might mention that to coworkers that you're friends with, right?
I don't think so.
Really?
And then your second favorite Denny's?
Yeah.
Does that really?
Favorite IHOP, second favorite Denny's.
Second favorite Denny's.
Yeah.
Do we need to know about that?
But when both of those close that close together, it's like a knockout punch to Bean.
Wow. Call Marianne Cotillard. You might have a conspiracy theory about this because something's going on.
Bean was in the studio with us and he said, wistfully, I miss my microwave.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
You have a great microwave at home. That is true.
Why am I just now finding out about the Hello Kitty AK-47?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
No one's talking about anything. Bean says, I love pistachios.
Oh, thanks for that info, Bean.
This is one where Mike ruined it for us. Oh, see, I have everyone trained. I tell Lisa, I tell Mike, do not respond to him. You have to ignore him.
He gives me the look of death whenever I do.
Guys, I'm going to do the Bean voice. All guys, right. Guys, I'm reading about a place I have to go. It's the Mustard Museum in Mount Hook, Washington. I don't say anything. Lisa doesn't say anything. Mike says, do you even like mustard? Bean says, there are 400 different types of mustard. That's how that went word for word. Awesome.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
I'm glad you brought that up because I had forgotten about that conversation. I need to now make a note to definitely head to the Mustard Museum.
This is Bean zipped up, by the way. I baked a delicious pumpkin spice bread yesterday.
Oh, God.
And then no one said anything. And then Bean said, it came out so great.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
You know, if I said that.
I know.
If I said that.
I know.
Here, Bean would tell me to call someone on the phone.
Yes,
and
he
shut
would.
Shut up.
He's the worst at that.
Oh, Bean. You
bastard.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Oh, come on.
I still don't believe airplanes can fly. I think they just sit still and spin the earth.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Wrote it down word for word.
Honest to God.
Why are eggs so good?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Bean, seriously? No one cares.
Why are eggs so good? It's the unanswerable question. It's like saying, why is a song good? There's no answer to that. It just is.
He does that too, by the way. He does it all.
He says he doesn't force his blog on us, but this is a thanks for that info, Bean, word for word. Today's the 150th post of my blog. And then Lisa, upset, says to Bean, what are we supposed to do with that? And Bean responds, it's just a nice round number. Yeah. I like it.
Now we're into favorite numbers.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
You guys are making stuff up now.
No,
at this point.
I remember.
You guys,
Mike, you remember this stuff, right?
100%.
Lisa, you remember these?
Yes.
All right. Here's one from a recent week. I hate getting outbid on eBay.
Now, well,
I guess that would be all right. If we were talking about eBay in any way, shape, or form.
Or if you had something interesting that you were bidding on. Didn't bother with that piece of information.
There's no follow-up on that.
Nothing.
And finally, and maybe best, just out of the blue, Mike looked at me like, are you effing kidding me? So I wrote down, I think Wally is a great name for a dog.
Where the hell did that
Bean,
come from?
Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up,
Come on.
Shut up.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
You think we were talking about dogs or dog names or any of the above?
I hope.
Nope, came out of silence.
Not a thing.
I think Wally is a great name for
but
a dog.
But isn't truth the best defense? Is if Wally is, in fact, a great name for a dog, then I think the defendant is innocent.
Thanks for that info, bitch.
106.7 KROQ. Come on, people. Can't we all just get along?
So we had a story from Bean's wife a couple of days ago on Ray Parker Jr.'s birthday. It's a big birthday celebration.
Ray Parker Jr. was a pop singer, R&B pop singer, back in the 80s. And he's most popular probably today for Ghostbusters, if you've ever seen that movie. He's the guy that sang the theme song to Ghostbusters, big number one hit. And he was pretty popular for a number of years, although not so much anymore, but at the time, he was a pretty big star, I guess.
Who are you going to call? Come on, everybody knows Ray Parker Jr.
Of course.
So Bean's wife had a run-in with him when she was 15, and this is the story that she told him.
I was 15 years old. I worked at a little ice cream shop at Magic Mountain, and it was my job to scoop out the ice cream and put it in a little dish or a cone and give it to the client.
Right.
So Ray Parker Jr. comes in, and he orders a root beer float. And they were like $1.50 for the small, $1.75 for medium, $2 for large, you know, like 25 cents difference.
Right.
Well, he wants the small one, mm-hmm. but he wants an extra scoop of ice cream.
In the small one.
And I say, I can't give you an extra scoop of ice cream because that's the next size up. That'll be 25 cents. And he goes, well, I don't want the next size up. I just want another scoop of ice cream. And I'm 15 years old. This is my first job. I have like a work permit. I've been there about a week. So I'm terrified to lose this job.
Yeah.
And he just starts screaming at me, wants to see the manager. And I said, sir, I'm so sorry, but I have to charge you the 25 cents if you want the extra scoop. And he goes, put the mother effing ice cream in the cup, you bitch. And he hurls
He threw it at you?
He hurled it at me.
Did you know who he was at the time?
Well, he made sure that we knew who he was by saying, "Don't you know who I am? I'm
Excellent.
Ray Parker Jr. I wrote that Ghostbusters song."
So there you go. That's good times right there.
I wrote that Ghostbusters song.
Don't you know who you're going to call? That's me.
That's so sad.
So you go home at the end of the day. How was your day, honey? Well, I had a root beer float thrown at me by the guy who said Ghostbusters. So that's the kind of bad celebrity encounter that is exactly what we're looking for. What happened to you?
Chris and Colton, good morning.
Hey, good morning, party people.
So you came across Coolio.
Yes, I was working at Mountain High in the kitchen, and he came in and wanted to make himself a burrito. So they set him up in the back room on a table, right? And he's pretty nice at first. Came in, grabbed me by my shirt, pulled me over to the table he was at. Okay, so first off, I'm completely terrified.
Chris, if you don't mind just backing up a second, why did he have to make his own burrito?
Because he wanted to.
Okay,
all right.
He had to make it on his own.
So he grabs you?
Dude, that's how they do it in Gangster's Paradise.
Anyways, he told me he wanted chicken, lettuce, onion, tomatoes, and something else. Can't remember off the top of my head. So I go and I grab him some chicken, you know, like they have them in the pan. He grabs a piece of the chicken out of the pan and flicks it at me and says, "No, I want it fresh."
Oh, yes.
I'm stunned. Stunned because all of our fresh chicken is frozen. So I'm like, all right, you know, I'll get you a bag of frozen chicken.
That's too much time in the kitchen with Coolio. I'm sorry.
I'm stunned that Coolio was at Mountain High. That's what I'm stunned.
Exactly. Chris, thank you for the call. We got a bunch of others we need to get to. Let's move along to, let's go to Kimmy in Alhambra. We're talking about bad run-ins with celebrities. Hi, Kimmy. What celebrity did you run into?
Good morning. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning.
We were at the Troubadour watching my uncle's band play, and we were all outside having a cigarette, and one of my cousins runs in and says, "Oh, hey, you know, one of our other cousins was having a drink with Judd Nelson." Oh. And we were like, "Wow, Judd Nelson? That's kind of random."
Mm-hmm.
So we all kind of go inside, and a friend of mine, you know, we walk up to him, and he, like, puts his hand out to shake his hand.
Right.
And he shook his hand. And then, you know, I went up to him to shake his hand, and he kind of just looked at me, and I was thinking, gosh, what a jerk. He's not going to shake my hand. All of a sudden, he gives me a hug, and, like, with one hand, he undoes my bra strap.
Come on. That's talent right there.
Yeah, and it was like I was wearing a shirt where my cousin had to, like, come over and, like, you know, fix it real quick. And by the time I turned around, he was already gone.
That's really
How
funny.
About that?
He had to have done that on purpose, right?
Oh,
had to
yes.
have. That's so
yeah.
funny.
Judd Nelson, by the way, from St. Elmo's Fire and The Breakfast Club and a bunch of 80s movies. I think he was on some TV show in the 90s, too.
Suddenly Susan.
Suddenly Susan, that was it. You don't see much of him anymore, that's for sure.
Thank God, how'd you come up with this stuff?
Suddenly Susan.
Big
Nomi Nami in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi, Nomi. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Who did you
run?
By the way, just
I
this.
I ran into Mel Gibson, actually, when I used to live in New York City. I was a little kid at the time.
Right.
I was with my mom and my dad, and they're filming Ransom with Gary Sinise, directed
right.
by Ron Howard, and uh-huh. just after, like, the bloody gunshot scene, you know, where he, like, comes out of the window, he watches the whole thing, and anyway, we're standing by his trailer, and he had just filmed for about an hour, so he wasn't, I mean, it was in the middle of the day, he hadn't been, you know, in, like, that long of a day or anything
right.
working, but we stood by his trailer, I kind of off, you know, to the side, and there are these two girls that went right up to him, like right up to the door, waiting for him to come out with paper and their little Sharpies.
Right.
And once he came out of the trailer, you know, they freaked out. I'm like, "Oh, can I have an autograph?" You know, like any fans would. And he just kind of stood there and looked at both of them and said, "How many of you are there?"
Well, how many were
and
there?
He just kind of, you know.
How many there. Were there, Nomi? How many people were there?
There are two. It
two.
Would be two girls and people off on the side because they wouldn't, you know, go near him.
How
but
many
anyway,
of you are there? That's
the worst part was he took these papers out of the girl's hand, signed them, and basically threw it. Like, one of them he just tossed to. The other one he pushed it. He, like, shoved it right in her chest.
Yeah.
Like, just pushed it to her.
Nice.
And slammed
Listen
the door
to Mike. He's so happy Mel Gibson dominated a teenager.
How many of you are there? All of two?
It's funny because Mel Gibson is the exact opposite guy you would expect
yeah.
to encounter. I mean,
generally speaking.
Yeah, and who knows, by the way, you know, that telling of the story, who knows how true it is or what the circumstances were of what was going on in Mel Gibson's life or anything like that, what kind of day he was having. But it's not what you expect when you run into Mel Gibson, that's for sure.
Speaking of telling stories, if you could start 10 seconds before the incident,
that would help.
We were at a bar, we were seeing a band, and I went out to have a smoke, and then a guy went back in, then he saw another guy.
Seriously, just get to the celebrity part.
Just get to the part where something bad happened.
We don't need the co-star and director of the movie?
No, we don't need any of that. Thank
Mike
you, though.
In Long Beach, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, thanks. Mike. What celebrity did you have a run-in with?
Reggie Jackson.
All right.
Went to get autographs from the team, finished that up. He was coming out of another entrance away from the parking. Other side of the stadium, and walked all the way around with him, you know, had a great conversation with him. We walked to his car because I had a ballpoint pen and he had a Sharpie, which would have looked better on the ball. Opened up the car door, jumped in, and drove off.
Oh, my God.
There you go, Reggie. By the way, he's still laughing about that.
He made the right call. That's awesome.
All right, let's go to John and Elisa Viejo. Hi.
John. Kevin Bean, Lisa May, Popo's Al.
Popo's Al.
To you as well. Who did you run into?
Johnny Knoxville, man. A trash waste. I mean, the guy must have been hammered off every drug in the world.
No!
Oh, the guy is just lit. All right. And my little sister, who's 17, walks up to him with my mom, me, and her, and says, hey, can I get your autograph or a picture with you? And he looks her up and down and says, you can get whatever you want with me. And my mom's all, excuse me? And he's like, oh, sorry, Mom. So he's like, let me get that picture. Had two beers in his hands. Swings his arm around my sister. Beers all over my mom.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That is so Johnny Knoxville and so what you expect when you run into him.
That's really a daily occurrence with him, I think.
Yeah, no kidding. That's fantastic.
Let's go to Whitney. Good morning, Whitney.
Good morning, Popo's out. Kevin and B. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
So you're a Magic Mountain. Who did you run into?
Robbie Williams.
Now, this is a huge,
huge... And him and his entourage come up right in front of us as we're about to get on, and we start saying, hey, you know, get back in the back of line. And he turns around and just spits right at us.
Robbie Williams spit?
Yeah. Wow.
Spitting rules. That's good news right there. Wow, Robbie Williams, a huge singer in England. He's not so big here, but wow, to get spit, that rules.
That is disgusting.
Dave in Valley Village, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and I ran into Burt Bacharach. I had to kick him out of one of my porn stores.
Sorry.
Now, for folks who don't know the name, Burt Bacharach, very popular songwriter mostly, also sings a bit, but songwriter from the 60s. And he was in a porn store buying what?
Yeah, I was a district manager for a couple porn stores here in the Valley, and we had to close the store down for about an hour because we had a problem. And I made an announcement and told everybody that if they wanted to buy something, they had to buy it now. Anyhow, about 10 minutes into it, he comes walking up the counter with a stack of porn mags, and wants to buy them, and I said, you know, I can't sell these to you now. You're going to have to wait about a half hour. And he pulls out his ID and stuff. He goes, man, I'm effing Burt Bacharach, and slams the thing down on the table. And I was like, man, I don't care who you are, but, you know, just get the hell out of the store.
Yeah.
Dude, when he says what the world needs now is love, he means he needs love right now.
My God, he really wanted his porn. Sometimes you got to have your porn.
That's right.
All right, Lisa, we're saving the best for last. You ready for JC in Sherman Oaks?
Not really.
Hi, JC.
Go ahead, JC.
How you guys doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. All right, good deal. I had a run-in with Tori Spelling, and it was a really horrible run-in, to say the least. I was over at Dimples Karaoke Bar in Burbank.
Right.
And she came in with her entourage and quickly shuffled my friend and I over into the corner because of their huge entourage.
Right.
Realized very quickly it was her birthday, and she was essentially way drunk, like to the point where her eyes were virtually rolling up and her head drunk. And
allegedly.
What's that?
I said, go ahead.
Okay. And to make it worse, she started doing a little sort of hottie dance with her hottie friend out on the dance floor, just her and her friend right in front of me and my friend.
Right. We're
sitting on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
She turns around, starts basically doing essentially a private dance for us.
Yeah.
Hiking up her tiny little skirt, come to realize no underwear. And not only was it her birthday, but it was also her time of the month.
Oh! Stop.
I just threw up.
Stop.
Horrible.
No.
Horrible.
But no.
Oh, no, she did not.
I was wishing I had my spy camera with me. I would have made $1 million in National Enquirer.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
Oh. I just threw up.
That's not good.
It was horrible.
A lot of people in the audience looked pissed.
0.7 KROQ, and you're lucky enough to be tuned to the Kevin and Bean Show. Bean does broadcast from Seattle, mm-hmm. and he works at his home. So anytime you hear like a phone ring or a clock or a doorbell
or a dog bark,
dogs or anything, it's always coming from his end. Everybody else is here at K-Rock, and the sound is coming from Bean. So yesterday we were doing What It Do Nephew, and I was pretty sure I heard a weed whacker for a while. And so I had to like turn down his microphone a little bit because somebody was weed whacking, and I couldn't tell what it was. It sounded like it. And then I heard, like, a lawnmower, and that's when I had to finally say something. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Buddhist monks? Is someone mowing the lawn?
No, sorry, I'm cutting my lawn here outside the studio.
Yeah, apparently it's me. I think I take the blame for this one. Huh. Apparently my...
Really? None of us are mowing the lawn here at the radio station? You're going to have to take the blame for this one? Because last time the lawnmower was me?
I was accepting responsibility.
I'm going to have to take the blame on this one, guys. I know Kevin and Lisa's lawn mowing noises have been loud lately, but this one's mine.
I have it done on Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of mowing, and then it all turns ugly.
I think I take the blame for this one. Huh. Apparently my yard crew just showed up to start mowing the lawn. They have strict, after 10 a.m. only rules, but for some reason, maybe the time change screwed them up.
Did somebody order a Mexican?
Yeah. The problem is your show from a hunting blind.
Jesus, stop!
All right, back to you.
Hey, no, not that hedge.
So that's good times right there. And then we were talking to Bean afterwards, and he tells us that Jesus is, I think he's raising money to fly back to Mexico so that he can donate a kidney to save his brother's life.
What? Really?
Yes, that's true.
And then all of a sudden, everything changed, and we were like, "Well, why are you yelling at him then? If the poor guy just wants to raise some money so he can go to Mexico and have a kidney taken out of his own body and given to his brother."
Bean.
I was yelling at him because he came before 10 a.m. And
right.
I know that I'm going to get yelled at by everybody else if there's too much noise on my end. So I just try to make everybody happy. Try to get my yard done after 10. Try to do the radio show before 10. That's all it was. Mm.
We have Jesus on the line. Jesus?
Bueno.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. How are you?
I am well. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you.
One second. Let me turn up the lawnmower.
Yeah, I was going to ask you to do that.
I was working. I'm so sorry, Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean, it's fine.
I'm so sorry.
It's fine, Jesus. It's not a big deal. I just wanted to let you guys know.
You were so angry the other day, and when you hit me like that, I know how angry you are.
Oh, no!
Did he hit you,
Jesus?
I didn't hit you, Jesus.
Yes, he picked up one of his sheep, and he hit me with it.
He hit you with a sheep.
He beat me with a sheep.
Wow.
I did. That's not what happened at all, Jesus. I was just asking, we've talked about this before, if you and your guys could maybe not mow until after 10 a.m. because we're doing a radio show in here.
I know. Usually I try to always do that, what you ask from me.
Well, what happened?
Mm-hmm. But I am trying to raise money so I can go back to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I have a operation.
Right.
To I know,
give,
yeah.
Give my kidney to my sister.
Mm-hmm.
So you could...
brother.
My brother.
It's very sad.
And he's not doing well.
Yeah,
I understand that.
He doesn't have long to live.
So there's some kind of time crunch? Is that why
I have to raise as much money as I can for the operation and also for to get back to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And so I must try to squeeze as many lawns in as I possibly can in the course of the day.
What did you feel like when Bean started yelling?
I felt guilty and ashamed.
Yeah.
I felt horrible because I broke the cardinal rule of no lawn mowing before 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And I know how important it is to him and how he has beaten that law into my brain.
So sad.
I thought this one time I could...
Nope.
Could get away with it because, like I said, I'm trying to raise some money.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't raise it, then my brother will surely perish.
Right.
And, so you're just out there mowing just 24 hours a day, if that's what it takes, just to get the money together fast enough to get there in time.
Well, I am the oldest of 17 children.
Oh, wow.
And so I try to send the money back to Mexico as well for them to have the food.
Right.
And also to live in a small mud hut that they live in.
Right.
They're trying to put an extension, but mud can be very expensive. And so they need that.
I wasn't aware of that.
Did you say mud could be expensive?
Yes, in Mexico it's very expensive.
Okay.
And so I'm also I have other operations scheduled for next week.
You have more than
a
that one?
One?
I'm giving a piece of my liver to my cousin, Rodrigo. Mm,
okay.
Oh, and I didn't know that.
So I have to raise money for that. I'm giving my spleen.
Anyone else needs your spleen?
My sister needs my spleen.
Okay.
I'm giving her some of that. Also, my grandfather needs a new gallbladder.
Okay.
So I'm giving him a gallbladder from my own body.
They're just selling you for parts.
Yeah, will you have anything left, Jesus, at the end of next week?
Oh, like you care.
And I do. I love Jesus.
Hey, Nana, don't mow till after 10 a.m.
And our burro needs a new heart valve.
A heart valve?
Yes.
For your donkey?
Yes. For the donkey back in Mexico who tends the fields.
Oh.
He needs a new heart valve, so I'm giving him my aorta.
Oh,
so
wow.
I've got a full schedule.
Wow.
Yes, you do.
Elective surgery coming up.
I apologize for my man Bean. I mean, I don't think he knew all of that when he started screaming at you and throwing stuff. I don't think he was aware.
It's okay because now I have more time because when he hit me with his sheep, he ruptured my gallbladder.
Right.
So it's not usable anymore for the family.
So who's going to die?
Oh. Two or three people.
Oh, that's sad. That's
they were
terrible.
All going to hook them up on one gallbladder.
Really? I've never heard of that surgery.
Three of my cousins were going to share my gallbladder.
They were miracles in Mexico.
There's top-notch medical care down in Mexico.
Well, Jesus, let me take this opportunity to apologize.
Let me please to you say I am sorry and sincerely apologize.
Don't worry
to you
about it.
For
not
daring to mow.
Yeah.
Grass before 10 a.m.
Yeah, it was like 9:58, by the way. I mean, that's crazy early.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking, and I am sorry, and I cannot apologize enough, but I will mow your lawn for free forever for the rest
that's
of my
not,
life.
No, that's not necessary at all.
If you need
happy
any body parts at all, I hope you'll feel free to ask me so I can somehow make up to you the horrible sin I have done.
Not a problem.
Because I know you work so hard. You get on the radio and you live in your house and then you go to your little microphone and you work from your house and you say things like, oh, not that hedge. And everyone loves it and thinks it's very funny.
Uh-huh.
And you entertain so many people
right.
with your amazing talent. And how hard the work is for you to do.
All right. That's
Meanwhile,
enough.
I just
That's
have
enough.
To mow lawn after lawn after lawn and work in the hot sun and sweat and do acres and acres of your million-dollar property and keep mowing and mowing.
Yeah.
But I know,
that's fine.
I
We're
know
out of
comparison
time.
Is nothing compared to what do.
Never mind,
because
Jesus. That's fine.
You know, I all the multiple homes you own and the
Jesus,
plane you have.
Is one of your relatives there with you? Because I heard someone laughing.
That's my cousin Omar.
Oh, really?
Time to check in with an old friend.
Joey Amaya sent Ralph an email that said, "Hey, Ralph, what's up? Just want to let you know about this 800 number that my girlfriend calls for her horoscope.
Mm-hmm.
They have other options like playing blackjack with a celebrity, and the celebrity is Sean Connery.
No kidding.
I don't know why or how this came about, but I decided we might as well go in the other room and try it. So this is, I called the line, and this is me playing blackjack with Sean Connery. Again, I don't know why they have this option, but they do.
Welcome to Blackjack. Okay, let's play. Shuffling, you were dealt the King of Clovers and the Jack of Hearts for a total of 20. The dealer is showing the Five of Diamonds. Say yes for another card or no to stay.
Stay.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Stay.
You win, you kick booty. Would you like to play again?
No.
You kick booty.
Oh, my God. See, I would think you wouldn't get a star as big as Sean Connery to ever agree to do something like this. That's a real surprise to me.
It is.
Is it a 24-hour? I mean, can you call any time?
It is. It's 800-555-8355. Mm-hmm. And then they come on and they say you have a lot of options. You want to talk sports. You want stock tips or whatever. And you just say blackjack and it goes right to Sean Connery.
That's
Dude,
bizarre.
Let's totally – can we play now? I mean, is it the type of thing we could just call up and do live?
800.
I totally want to hear what this is like. That's awesome.
8355.
Okay. Main menu. Here are all the categories you can choose from. Business search.
Blackjack.
All right. Blackjack.
Welcome to Blackjack. Okay. Let's play. Shuffling.
Mm-hmm.
You've been dealt the 10 of spades.
Okay.
And the 8 of hearts.
Ooh, gotta hold.
The dealer is showing a 10. If you'd like another card, say yes. If you'd like to stand, say no.
No.
Yeah, we gotta stand on 18, yeah. Right? Sure.
Come on, you. Do you have no balls whatsoever?
No, you have to hold on an 18.
I've got 20, you.
What's going on with this?
What the is wrong with you?
Is this really Sean Connery?
If you're not going to play the game, just go suck a.
No, listen. All of the rule books for blackjack say you get an 18, you hold no matter what.
All right, have it your way.
All right.
Okay. Oh, look, I have 20. You lose.
Oh, my gosh.
What a surprise. Eat my
How are we being schooled by a recording? I don't understand how this is happening.
Don't
this is amazing.
Talk to me. I'm pre-recorded.
Oh, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Would you like to play again?
Yes, I would.
Yes.
Shuffling.
All right.
You've been dealt the 10 of, let's say, diamonds.
Are you making this up?
And the 5 of hearts.
Okay, I got a hit.
Okay, 50.
You have 50. Yeah. Wait to hear what I have.
I know. I know how to play. Go ahead.
Pull your head out of your... Wait to see what cards I have before you start saying things.
This is a very
sucker.
Very specific recording, isn't it?
Shut the up.
All right, I have a 15. Go ahead.
I've got 21. You.
You didn't even deal the cards.
Doesn't matter. Go yourself. I beat your ass.
Come on, Sean. Give
Bend
me a...
over and spread your cheeks.
Give me one more chance.
Wow.
If you'd like me to with a condom, press 1.
All right.
If you'd like to just carry my l- press 2.
Okay, never mind. I think I'm out.
You piece of shit.
And I'm sure you've asked yourself a million times before, if there was only a way I could watch a rapper cook, I'd be so happy. But where can that happen?
Cooking with Coolio, ladies and gentlemen, is the internet sensation that everyone's talking about right now. Now, Coolio was a very famous rapper when, Mike? When was his heyday back with the Gangster's Paradise song?
95, 96.
Okay. All right, so it's been a while maybe since Coolio has been in the limelight.
Yeah.
And now he's back online teaching us how to cook.
Not you, how to cook. It's hard to describe the show without you having seen it, but it is worth going to YouTube and searching Cooking with Coolio, because in the beginning they jump in like a minivan and then they drive out to a college campus and then they kidnap this guy. And then they're going to show him how to cook, and then they bring him back and they wrap his head in duct tape, and he looks like a Mexican wrestler. And then there's two girls behind him that are hitting him in the head with baguettes, and he's got a gay assistant.
Wow.
And he teaches him how to cook.
Sounds like you really learned a lot.
How much backstory do I need from a guy teaching me how to boil pasta? I don't get that.
I don't know, but that's the thought behind the first one, is that he's going to go kidnap a college kid and show him how to cook. It's the worst thing I've ever heard and seen, and yet it's spectacular because it is Coolio.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Coolio's Cafe. I am the Ghetto Gourmet, and this is my AC Jerez. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to teach your ass how to cook. Are you ready? Sucker.
No.
What did he say?
Sucker. I don't think you can be street and have a cooking show.
He's cooking with attitude, dude. Come on.
They don't really mix to me. Now, Dreds is his gay assistant, and he's talking back and forth to Dreds about, you know, making dinner for a girl and just exactly what result you would like that to have.
Have you ever been, like, late and you had to make something real quick?
Quick.
And your girlfriend is one of them salad-eating bitches?
Salad-eating bitches.
Tell you what. I'm going to teach you how to make a salad that'll get them panties right off.
Yes.
So his assistant, his guy behind him, what's his name?
Dreds.
He's like the guys who stand behind Farrakhan, who just mimic everything that he says.
Yes.
Go on. Tell him. That guy.
So he's going to show you how to make a salad that'll take their panties off.
Wow.
All right. So far, I'm in.
Okay. Now Coolio starts talking about ingredients. Dreds, the gay assistant, is the chanter in the background.
Balsamic vinegar. Olive oil. Mozzarella.
Tomatoes.
It's time to cook, biatch.
Nah, see, I don't know that you can work biatch into cooking either.
By the way, how about those exotic ingredients for the salad, too? No one's ever thought of putting that combination together.
And by the way, the gay assistant Dreds is repeating the ingredients to the guy that has the duct tape on his head. As if,
all right,
for some reason, the guy that was standing between Coolio and his gay assistant couldn't hear Coolio say it, but he can't hear the gay assistant say it. I don't think I understand that. So then Coolio wants you to know exactly what you're getting, what kind of quality you're getting.
It's all about presentation, baby. Remember, look good, taste good, smell good. Is good, Shaka Zulu.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure what Shaka Zulu is. He does shout that repeatedly throughout the show.
It's a cooking term, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, if you're a really good cook.
Is it really?
Yeah. No.
Oh, I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
You had us going for a minute there, Lisa.
So what kind of salad do you like? What kind of salad do you not like?
You drizzle it around. Now, you don't want to get too much oil on it because oily salad ain't shit.
Okay.
How about that?
It ain't shh.
It ain't shh.
Okay.
Right. Oily salad. Basil. Why does he like basil?
Everybody don't like basil, but I like it because it's green, you know. Red, white, and green. You know, colors of the Mexican flag. It just make it look good now.
Okay. So
that's what I look for in my ingredients.
He likes basil because it makes it look good. It makes it look like the Mexican flag. And then he shouts again.
Shaka Zulu, motherfucker!
Okay, I don't know. I don't know what that means, where it comes from, why he's yelling
at... At least now I know why this show's online and not on television, by the way.
Now he's seasoning a steak, and see, he knows his crowd, so when he describes to you what he holds his seasonings in, you'll understand.
Okay, after you rub that in, then you take your dime bag of seasoning salt right here.
So can I get that on any street corner?
Half a dime bag of pepper.
See, because they're in dime bags and half dime bags. That's how he measures.
That's funny.
How does Coolio maintain his enthusiasm for making this dish? It seems like he's really into it. Like, if I'm Coolio and I used to be all that, I am hating life right now as I realize I'm doing an internet cooking show, but he seems to really be into it.
You would fall on your knife, wouldn't you? I mean,
absolutely.
This seems horrible.
Yeah, so you get out of show business before you do an internet cooking show.
So now the Mexican wrestler dude with the duct tape head is standing in between Coolio and gay assistant, and now Coolio is starting to talk about the mushrooms, but the gay assistant isn't sure the guy in the duct tape can hear, so he repeats as well and gets very, very excited about the mushrooms.
Now, Josh, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take some mushrooms. I'm going to put a mushroom in that corner.
Ooh, I like mushrooms.
And I'm going to put a mushroom in that corner. And I'm going to put a mushroom in that corner.
That corner.
I'm going to put another one in that corner.
That corner.
I'm going to put one on the side and one on that side.
What?
Okay, now.
Oh, my God.
Are we still talking about cooking? Because I'm confused about what's going on here.
Listeners are starting to email asking if this is for real or if this this is a real show.
Search Cooking with Coolio on YouTube.
All right.
You won't believe it. It's worth watching because of the dude with the duct tape on his head.
Awesome.
For no other reason.
I'm going to put a whole half a cup of garlic in that See what I did? Did you see that?
That's a lot of garlic.
And guess what I'm going to do next? The hot sauce is for color.
The hot sauce is not for taste, mind you, but color.
All right.
Coolio doesn't have a lot of descriptions at his beck and call, so this is how he describes food.
God damn. That tastes better than your mama's tits.
Oh!
He did.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So now, again, I want you to describe for me if we're still talking about cooking or when he starts talking about olive oil, if there's something else going on.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this olive oil and I'm going to put it in that pan. One. Teaspoon of olive oil. Wait a minute, not one, but we're going to take 2 teaspoons of olive oil. Hold up, and then don't stop. We're going to take 3 teaspoons of olive oil, and we're going to put it in that pan. And guess what? We're going to shake it like James Brown.
On a good foot.
I am ready to vote for this man for president.
Still talking about cooking, aren't we?
Sort of.
I don't think so. So then at the end of the show, I had to cut out so much because it's impossible to put it all on there. But at the end of the show, Coolio asks for video responses. You know how you do that on YouTube? You can videotape yourself and upload it. Well, he's giving away a hell of a prize to get people to send in video responses.
You want to get this bell pepper? All you got to do is send in a video response or comment, and the person that sends the best video response or comment will get an autographed bell pepper from Coolio.
I don't know why, but he's going to send you an autographed bell pepper.
Is this a one-time only deal, or is this a series?
I don't know.
Oh, I hope Coolio. It's a series.
Here's what I do know.
On a good foot.
Why don't we have a beer week out here?
A couple days ago, our man Ralph Garman, who is from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, came in and was telling us that he was a little homesick. He was missing an event that goes on at this time every year back home where they have some sort of beer week. I guess it's a celebration of all of the beer industry back there in Philadelphia. Apparently, they have tens of thousands of people work in the breweries. They got something like 20 microbrews there. The history of beer in Philadelphia goes all the way back to the founder of the city, William Penn, back in 1680 had a brewery. And there's been beer made ever since. And they have a big party, right?
How come we don't have a beer week?
I don't know. It does sound pretty cool.
Sounds I know there's not a lot of microbreweries here that I'm aware of, but really, a beer week, it should be everywhere.
Well, if we had beer week, we would be aware of those microbreweries.
It should kick off on St. Patrick's Day and should go for the next week. I think this week is beer week in Philadelphia, though.
That's right. They've got parades and games and pub crawls and the whole thing. And we thought maybe it's something we need to investigate so that we can get something going in Southern California. So we asked producer Lightning to line up the guy. I guess he's the brewmaster, the man behind Philadelphia's Beer Week, on the line with us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, we're looking for the spokesman for Beer Week, please.
Nope.
But we are.
This sounds like it might be our friend David Hasselhoff. Is that you, Dave?
Yes.
You're running Beer Week in Philadelphia?
So you're in Philadelphia right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Have you been drinking beer today at all?
This is a mess.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Can you get your wits about you enough to tell us about Beer Week in Philly?
Nope.
No.
What kinds of things are going to be going on Philly Beer Week?
Drinking.
I see. I see there's brewery tours and pub crawls and seminars and all kinds of stuff.
I'm all right.
But we didn't ask that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having another Carl's Jr. burger laying without a shirt on the hotel room floor?
Yes.
Wow.
David...
Is there anyone else there that can give us details on Beer Week?
Nope.
No.
Is your daughter running a video camera or something that we can talk to her?
No.
Okay. Look, maybe you're not the best choice to run an alcohol-centered event based on your history of problems with substance abuse in recent months.
David?
What?
Maybe you're not the guy that should be having this job.
Why not?
Well, you've had problems with alcohol. You've gone to rehab many times for it. Something called Beer Week seems like it might be encouraging you down the wrong road.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like maybe you should stay away from something called Beer Week because it might just... Okay.
This is a mess.
Yeah. So how long has it been going on now?
Starts today.
Okay. Starts today.
And you're already like this?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the spokesman for the whole week?
Yeah.
All right.
We don't want to call you on Monday, I'll tell you that.
Yes, we do.
Nope.
Well, I hope you enjoy it. I mean,
it sounds...
You all right, David?
This is a mess.
Uh-oh. You're going down, Dave. David?
Happy Beer Week.
Yeah, happy Beer Week. Happy Beer Week.
I drink a lot of beer.
Right.
Yes. This is a mess.
Sure is.
You okay?
I like beer.
Yeah.
I like to drink a lot of beer.
Right.
I drink it all the time.
David?
I drink it.
You okay?
I'm sorry, I couldn't make that out.
What?
David, do you think anyone else gets that joke? can't make that out.
Is that Omar laughing in the other room?
Omar, is it Beer Week? We can't
make out anything anymore. I'm sorry, Dave.
Omar, what? Owl?
Omar is
what? Omar is an owl is what we're getting. Yes? Omar is an owl. Okay. It's a good tip. All right, well, take care. If you want to see the new, calm, sedate, cleaned up, clean Britney Spears, check her out tonight on CBS on How I Met Your Mother. Although, I don't think everything's hunky-dory in her personal life yet. Terrible news yesterday on Rob Showbiz Beat.
Well, just if it's true.
Terrible news.
Yeah, if it's true.
He reported that, according to Star Magazine, Adnan Galib, who is the paparazzo, who somehow has become the boyfriend, I guess you could say, of Britney Spears, is telling friends that she is pregnant. And nobody needs that, right?
Well, certainly not.
No.
So we thought, look, we can speculate and we can go through the tabloids and we can say, you know, who's saying what and when. Or we can go straight to the source. And I believe we have Mr. Galib on the line with us right now. Good morning, Adnan.
Hey, du bro, my friends, huh? Good morning. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hi, Adnan.
Hey, bitch.
What? What? What'd you just
What's
say?
Up, my baby? Hey, bitch, how you doing, huh? That's right. What? Huh?
What's wrong with you?
What,
bro?
Just rude.
Dude, bro. Hey, what, woman, bitch, huh?
Adnan, for folks, first of all, can you turn down the music? Is that possible so we can hear you?
Omar.
Wait a minute. Omar's with you?
Of course, baby doll, huh?
That's weird.
That's right, my all friend, right. Huh? Dude, bro.
Now, for folks who have trouble...
Wait, you need Nano, by the way? iPod Nano. I got a good deal, huh?
No, we don't.
No, we're iPod not Nano, the baby. iPod Nano. Come on, my friend.
We don't need an iPod. We're calling to talk to you about the Britney situation. Now, for folks who maybe can't keep straight all the players that move in and out of Britney's life, you are a paparazzo, now you don't take pictures as a job of Britney anymore. You just bang her, right?
That's right. You know, I am Prince of Persia. Everybody wants me, huh? Yeah, baby.
You're the one that's being quoted as saying she's pregnant with your baby.
That's how I roll. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, dear God, I
baby,
hope that's not
big time potent downstairs, baby doll, uh-huh? John this snake. That's how I roll. Modern day Aladdin is what they call me. That's right, baby doll. Uh-huh, my friend. That's who. That's what they say. That's what they say.
Who's they?
Yeah. That's what they say.
Who's they?
Nothing, bitch, my friend. Dude, bro.
One friend of Adnan's
hey,
tells...
Hey, by the way, what's your mortgage look like? Your mortgage good, huh?
It's fine.
Mortgage we're good,
not,
huh?
Why? We're not calling to refinance. That's not why we have you
okay,
on the line,
I got good deal, my friend. Good deal, my friend, huh? Gift certificate to Chili's?
No, we just want to talk. We want to talk to you about the Britney situation. We don't want to buy anything. We don't want to refinance. Just listen to us, all right?
Okay, it's good. Huh?
Star Magazine says one friend of yours, Adnan, tells the magazine, Britney is Adnan's dream come true. He knows that if he has a child with Britney, he'll be made for life. Is that what this is about? As a way to get your claws in and get some of that sweet Kevin Federline cash?
I look at it as a deal. If you know, we both lose. We both lose if we don't make baby. You know what I'm saying?
No.
How does Britney lose?
How does she lose if you don't make a baby?
Because
with her?
She doesn't have sweet Prince of Persia inside her baba.
I see.
And I don't get the cashish.
The money, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. The scratch paper. That's how I roll, huh? Right. You need look, laser pointer? Laser pointer. I got high-def laser pointer. It's good.
What's a high-def laser pointer?
It's better than low-def.
I don't even know that.
Kevin, don't ask.
All right, I'll take one of those.
All right, good time.
Put that on my bill.
Good time. Ah, yeah, my friend.
How about look? What do you do, by the way, besides sell stuff off that fell off the back of a truck? I mean, you don't take pictures anymore. How do you spend all your time?
I make music. You know what I'm saying?
You make music.
I paint.
What?
I'm a jack of many things. Okay?
You're a Renaissance man.
I am a Renaissance man.
What music do you do? I've not heard anything from you.
Adnan Galib, baby, R&B sensation.
Mm-mm.
When it comes to the R&B hits, I stock them deep in Southern.
How do you stock
easy
them?
For you to say.
Mark that tape, Kevin. It's moments with Adnan.
Hey, tell Omar to shut up.
Omar!
Kind of ruins
Omar!
The
whole thing. Hey, right, by the way, before you play my song, which is where this is obviously going.
Wait a minute. We have a song from you?
Yes, my friend. Lightning, my friend. Lightning, good deal. I trade him 2 CB radio. And high-def monitor for some shirts, you know, that say Pride on them. He's my boy.
I see. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? We make good deal on the side.
Okay.
So I say to him, hey, Adnan G, R&B sensation. You want some of my music? I give you MP3. Good deal. So I send him over MP3. Good deal. Mm-hmm. You have it over there, my friend. Okay, bitch?
What's the name of it?
It's called Dude Bro.
Dude
That's
Bro
what? It's called.
What?
Dude Bro.
Dude Bro.
That's the title of the song?
Dude Bro.
No, it's all not right. The title of the song?
Dude Bro.
It is the title.
Bro.
All right, here we go.
Bitch.
World premiere.
Yeah. That's right, bro. They call me Adnan G.
No, they don't.
It's not your imagination, bitches. It is getting hot in here.
I got that big screen. I got the Bluetooth. I eat a bully. I love the couscous. That's right, bro. You know it, bro. Bro, bro. My friend. Adnan Galib with a capital G. I'm the number one paparazzi. I make it rain all day and I play them hoes like they were just a game of Yahtzee. Not a Nazi. I'm a Persian player from the west side. With leopard skin seats on my ride. Yeah, bro. Custom made goatee makes me look fresh. Hair up on my chest, cause you know I am the best, baby. Don't mean maybe, got gold plate on Mercedes. Sometimes it's cool water or dry car for the ladies. I sell you gold chain, I do your refi. I got the laptop set up with Wi-Fi. That's right, bro. You know it, bro, bro, bro. My friend.
Hey, Ron.
Everybody in the house, throw your cell phone in the air and say, bro. Bro, 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 dude, bro.
You know you want to give me a deal, my friend, bro.
Yeah. You like that? Sweet sounds of Adnan G, baby.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. You like that, huh?
Yeah.
Bad Religion in the studios at the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
Thank you. Hey-o. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Greg, Brett, Brooks in the studio with us. Welcome this morning, guys.
Thank you.
Good day.
Tell us about the new Maps of Hell. You got a new version of it coming out. Is that right?
Yeah. Greg and I recorded a bunch of new songs acoustically as demos for the next record.
Okay.
And then we had the idea, hey, you know, a lot of times when our songs become well-known, we'll then... they become well-known electrically. Well, mm-hmm. then, you know, do acoustic versions for the fans. And we thought, you know, maybe a lot of the fans don't realize that sometimes we write these songs acoustically, you know. So we thought about the idea of making an acoustic EP. And then we put some classics on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're putting that together with New Maps of Hell. So, and I think it's also comes with a DVD. And,
how do you guys write songs? Is it acoustically for the most part, or do you... I don't know how.
I think
you and Brett share the duties, but
yeah. But we basically write separately and then come together and sort of amalgamate our ideas that we came up with separately. And Brett has a lot of acoustic ideas. I mean, he's more the studio guru, also. So
right.
I kind of defer to him on that. But I have a nice room at home that with all my acoustic instruments, and that's where a lot of the melodies and the chords come together.
Yeah, and sometimes we'll even write a tune on piano. So
yeah,
like to see that.
Come on over.
Come now, over anytime. It's not that exciting.
Now, speaking of rooms in your homes, that's kind of the new way the music industry is working. It used to be you had to get signed by a record label, then you had to sell tens of millions of CDs, or else you would.
Sure.
Now it's all being done at home.
Yeah, yeah, home studios,
Pro Tools, home studios, whatever you got.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty amazing. Kids across America are able to make really, you know. Studio quality recordings in their home, and I think what we're seeing is just an explosion of creativity in the music.
Is it going to be hard to make your way in that kind of world with
cut through
thousands of bands and people out there and not as much promotion or whatever? Is it going to be possible to be a Bad Religion in the future?
I think so. You know, it was really hard to make your way in the old days because you were up against kind of the old gatekeepers, you know, and now everything's broken wide open. And the gates are torn down. So, you know,
but everyone's rushing. Yeah. So then,
that's
what do you
true.
Do? I mean, you're gonna
there's a very low signal to noise ratio. Granted, however, you know, teenagers have a lot of time, and I think the exceptional things do stand out. You know, I mean, I'm listening to lots of good music all the time, and there's, you know, there's kind of a culture of recommendation out there right now. Kids go on the blogs and the social networks, and they tell each other what they've discovered. And when something's really great, it spreads like wildfire.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a much quicker process than it used to be, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's cool.
And Pennywise, they got a new CD coming out, and they're going to give it away for free on MySpace.
Those are our buddies, Pennywise. We saw Fletcher the other night in the pit. Hey, Fletch.
He was there for your show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
family.
What do you think about the whole new way that music is going now with giving it away for free? I mean, Radiohead gave it away for what you would pay.
Yeah.
You know, and then now Pennywise is going to give away for a couple of weeks on MySpace.
You know, information wants to be free, and that's how it's going to be, and you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
There's no way to
go back to selling it, really. I mean, is that pretty much everyone has to come to the realization that they're just going to have to start giving that away for free and making money somewhere else?
Or? There's got to be a balance. There's no way to going back to how it used to be, though, for sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But the balance, you're going to have to be able to get some money for the music.
An example is what Trent Reznor just brilliantly did with his new record, where, you know, he gave it away for free if you wanted it in this way. But if you were a true collector, you could pay some money and get something very unique and special. Or right. if you had a medium budget, then you could do this and you could get a
disc.
That's
true. I think I got it for $5. I think that was the medium. One you could get for free, one you could spend $5. Yeah. And then one's like a collector's edition type thing.
Right. So what you do is you kind of provide things for the collectors, and you provide things for the casual listeners, and you provide a few different levels there. And I think that's where it's going. I think that was very, very smart. But it will never be what it used to be, which was really an economy of scarcity, where a few big companies decided what releases were coming out that Tuesday, and that's right. all you had a choice of.
Right.
You know? And, hey, this Tuesday there's 15 new releases in North America. Here's what they are. It's like, you know what? How about 15,000 new releases?
Yeah.
You know?
And then
probably what came out this week.
Yeah, probably.
That's probably true. Do you have to add video and stuff, too? Do you guys try to do some of that stuff, behind-the-scenes video type stuff?
Definitely. The new DVD that's coming out has two really nice pieces. One is the making of the acoustic EP, which shows a bit of the writing process that Greg and I do. And also it has an hour-long, never-before-released DVD of a live show with a multi-microphone mix and multi-camera shoot.
Oh, very cool.
That was done at the House of Blues in Vegas, was it?
Yeah.
Is it a lot more work now, though? I mean, a lot more work for a band to put something out, because you really do have to step up the output. It's not the same songs or whatever.
You'd have to ask. I mean, it's more of a effort on the record company's part. I mean, a band, if you're going to be an active band, you've got to be playing, you've got to be touring. You've got
to do that stuff anyway.
Anyway, and now that everybody and their brother has a camera, it's not much more work for the band, but to package it, to put it all together and to make it presentable, I think, is more of a behind-the-scenes effort. And I think, the packages have to be a little slicker now.
That's fantastic. And you, Greg, are still teaching at UCLA? Or
today is a very big day.
Yes, please tell me.
My students who are listening, some of which shouldn't be listening because they should be studying.
For a final?
Today is the final of LS1, the end of the winter quarter at UCLA. I want to say hi to all my students.
But wouldn't it be cool? But wouldn't it be cool if you went in today and you said, "Look, I'm just going to give you all A's."
Yeah,
that would be really.
Don't even worry about coming in.
Spring break.
Why do you have to give them these ideas?
No, but
now?
You should. I mean, that's cool.
Now it's all over the place.
Right? We were talking about you earlier because
how easy that would be.
It seems like it would be. Seems like it would be easy enough for professors and colleges to. To get chicks, I got to be honest. But you're a lead singer of a band. Come on.
Yeah, that turns them off at UCLA.
We asked you. Is that right? That doesn't work for them? That's not good?
Deterrent.
We were asking you last time about the students who came in and sat down and didn't really know your dual life.
A lot of them don't. They're pre-med students, by and large. But, it's funny because it's an ominous lecture hall. There's 300 students,
300. Wow.
And it's very difficult to really for any of them to raise their hand and to speak out. And it's even more difficult to say, "Hey, let's talk about music,"
right?
In
I
front
imagine.
Of that. Yeah. So we don't really; it doesn't come up. But it's sometimes in consultation hours it comes up, but
after school or whatever.
Yeah.
But by the end of the first week, they all know, right?
Good question.
I imagine
they
come
don't
on.
Share it with me.
Well, there's one person that knows, and then they all, text each other and
spreads.
Isn't that the guy from Bad Religion? No way. Blah blah blah. Yeah,
I think it's true, but they're very interested in getting good grades.
So. I'm sure they are. Yeah. But today you're going to let them off the hook. That's what I'm saying. Right? I mean, it's a special day.
It is a special day. The end of the quarter.
Right. So let them go.
I don't feel that he's
I don't
going
either.
That direction.
I don't think I'm making any progress here.
Greg, are you a strict teacher?
No, I'm not.
That's
strict.
A great question.
I'm actually.
Do people act up in your class and you say, "Stop it"?
No, I don't compete.
You don't.
I don't even get angry when a cell phone goes off, which happens at least once every lecture.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And so kids don't think of you as mean, Mr. Graffin,
Master Graffin.
No, they don't.
But they have to screw up some, don't they? I mean, I would.
But they're college students. So what?
I was the worst when I was in college.
At this level, a lot of them, it's their TAs that they have more interaction with.
Oh, you're not in touch with them.
Exactly.
I see. So, you have your minions do it.
Exactly.
I see.
So the discipline is on a different level, yeah.
You just tell them to hit, and they hit.
At this level, I just dispense with the information.
I see.
And then their TAs or their counselors deal with it.
Are you considered difficult?
Gotcha.
Are they freaking out today?
I don't honestly read my teacher evaluations.
you have no idea if you're doing a good job.
Are you really an instructor at UCLA? Is that really happening? You're just making it up.
It's kind of like our music reviews.
You can't read your reviews.
You can't, right?
It's just too hurtful. If someone's angry, they're having a bad quarter, and they'll take it out on you. So
yeah.
I don't really read them, but I get good reviews one-on-one. People say they've learned a lot.
You have to get some kind of a feeling, though, how you are compared with the other professors.
Yeah, I think I'm challenging because I offer a pretty unconventional view of biology. So I bring a little of the rebellion and bad religion to that worldview of biology. Because there are a lot of controversies. People think biology is a solid science.
Right.
There's tons of controversy. There's a lot of things that aren't as well established as we're led to believe. And I like to teach that. And by the way, I'm not talking about teaching the controversy of intelligent design. That's not a controversy.
Right.
Thank you and amen.
Mumbo jumbo. So that's not the controversy I'm talking
about. So you're saying your students can get off the hook today. That's what you're saying.
No.
No. Okay. All right. I happened to notice the chairs and the microphones and the guitars and the snare drum. You guys are going to perform live? What do you got for us today?
We'd like to introduce to you the first installment of Infected on Acoustic Guitar.
Fantastic.
Hold your applause till after the movement. Now here I go, hope I don't break down. I won't take anything. Don't give me anything. I don't want to exist. I can't persist. Please stop before I do it again. Let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about no one. Please talk about no one. Someone, anyone. You and me have a disease. You affect me. You infect me. I'm afflicted. You're addicted. You and me. You and me. I'm on the edge, dead against the wall. I'm so distracted. I love to strike you. Here's my confession. You learned your lesson. Stop me before I do it again. Let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about no one. Please talk about no one. Someone, anyone. You and me have a disease. You affect me. You infect me.
Just when you thought you knew everything there was to know about Governor Spitzer of New York's sex scandal, wait, there's more.
So if you go to the MySpace page of Ashley Alexandra Dupree, which apparently is the hooker in New York named Kristen, who was working for the Emperor VIP Club that brought down Governor Spitzer.
Wait a minute. She's using a false name?
I know. Weird, right? Here's what it says in her little little place where you put your quote. What destroys me strengthens me. And I don't know if that's new this week or if that's what's always been up there. By the way, this hooker, this Kristen, by the way, is in Psycho Mike's Friends Network. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
She is? From before this?
When you logged on to it was on the cover of Drudge yesterday, her MySpace. And when you logged on to it, most people saw this profile is set at private.
Right.
She was already in my network.
Are you client 10? Client 8? Client 7?
Good question. Huh. So it's been quite a week for Governor Spitzer, who woke up first thing Monday morning thinking it was just going to be another week on the job, you know, in Albany as the governor of New York. And now he, you know, heads into the weekend going, we got to move and we got to move fast, baby, because the new guy takes over Monday. So he stepped down yesterday, and it was really a fascinating story that we don't have much time to go into here about how he got tripped up. But basically, I guess his bank was alerted to the fact that there were all these high dollar cash payments going somewhere. And they were afraid there was some sort of fraud going on or some sort of money laundering or something like that. So the feds got a wiretap in order to kind of track that down and see what was going on with the money. And that's when they found out that it had to do with a prostitution ring and that he'd been paying this chick to have sex with him for years.
That's what he called the Emperor's Club VIP. And they said yes. And he said client 9. And they said the regular. And he said please. Or something like that. We actually got online and we found the federal wiretap. The tape has been made public.
Okay.
So we thought we would play it for you. This is the former governor now, Elliot Spitzer of New York City.
Hey, it's Lightning, and on the phone I've got Elliot. Elliot, how you doing?
Good, Lightning. How are you?
I'm good, good. I wanted to get back with you. I received an email about your auto insurance. You saved a bunch of money.
That's right, Lightning. I've been saving almost $4,300 a month.
Wow, that's pretty significant. What do you do for a living?
I'm a governor of one of the 50 states.
So tell me, what exactly happened? What got you to call AIS?
Well, Lightning, I date a lot, and sometimes my dating life brings me into some unsavory neighborhoods, so I thought it was important that my car be well insured.
Oh, smart. So how much money do you think you saved?
So far, I've saved $80,000.
$80,000?
Which works out to be about $4,300 a month.
A month?
A month.
A month.
A month.
A month?
A month.
So what are you going to do with all this money that you've saved?
I'm going to high-end call girls.
Wow, that sounds like a plan. 1-800-777-4AIS.
Lightning, I'm so happy with AIS, I'd like to make you lieutenant governor.
Well, so there you go. You got to believe Elliot. He's telling the truth. And that's not radio bogusness. Wait, I think I just made up a word.
Wow.
Well, he deserves to go to jail then for that.
Seriously.